With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor. I'm your host, Shannon Gates, here for actually what I think will be my last Australian Survivor 2019 piece of content. We've done all the recaps, we've done three deep dives already, and we are here with the fourth deep dive. He is someone who I said really inspired me in episode 2, and I maintained that throughout the whole season. Please welcome the great Baden.
Hey, Shannon, how you doing?
I'm great. I'm so happy to have you on, Baden. As I said throughout the podcast, throughout the season, I really loved your game, but we didn't get to see as much of it as we did from some of the other people I've spoken to. So you're a great person to get on the show and get some more insight into your game.
No, it's perfect. I'm actually really excited for this. And obviously, I've got a big axe to follow after Pia, Luke and Janine, but I should be good here.
Yeah, I mean, you're in good company, but you made it 50 days. You came second. Like, you're up there with the rest of them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a long time. I didn't go through all that just for the fun of it. So, no, it's really cool to talk about it with you.
Yeah, and I'm glad because, you know, we've had, you know, Janine, Pia, and Luke, who are all champions, all part of that fun alliance. So they had, like, really similar starts to the game. And you're, like, the first contender we're getting on the deep dive, a bit of a different, you know, approach and a different perspective on the game. So that's great as well.
No, that is fantastic. Yeah, because it is. You make a good point. They all had similar games, especially sort of pre-swap. So I can provide some alternate perspectives, hopefully.
Yeah, well, we spoke in the X interview and you discussed, you know, how you became a fan and how Sam on last season really encouraged you to apply. What was your application when you sent it in?
I mean, I literally just stood in front of a map on the wall and talked for 3 minutes. Like, it wasn't anything fancy. I just sort of put my case out there and... Yeah, actually, I had to talk myself into it for quite a while as well. So just getting to the point of even doing that application was a bit almost daunting for me. But I pushed through and got it all done, and then it all went from there.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm like, I haven't asked an application question on the deep dive yet, and that's because they were all champions.
None of them applied.
Exactly. You're the applicant that we have, yeah, that we can ask this to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, I think it was actually for me a bit of a... I don't know, not quite self-confidence, but like I saw it as an opportunity to practice talking about myself, which I actually hate doing. So I just thought it was like, New Year's resolution, you've got some time over the break, summer break, why don't you do the application? So I talked myself into it that way, but I'm glad I did.
So you apply and you're getting through more rounds, and where do you go from there in terms of getting on the show?
I think coming into it, I saw the whole thing as, right, okay, I put my application in, I've got to practice talking about myself. If it doesn't go anywhere, then that's fine, you know, but if anything that happens beyond that is a bonus. But through the various stages, it just kept going, and I was actually quite surprised, I guess, because there's a lot of brilliant people out there. And the fact that out of all of the, I think they said about 20,000 people applied, and to be one of the sort of 11 left is quite actually really gratifying, I guess. It's a really cool feeling to know I made it through that.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely awesome. What was that feeling to find out at the time that you got accepted?
I was a bit of shock, a bit of surprise, but also a bit like, oh man, like this is really exciting. It took a little while to sink in, I think, when I got the final call. It was like, wow, okay, this is actually happening. I get to tell my family now.
Yeah, what was their reaction? Because you kind of said that this isn't something they necessarily expect of you, and then you're going out on Survivor. Like, I feel like we're in a similar thing. We're both, as I discussed with Tessa on our recap podcast, we're both maybe Ravenclaws. So that's not something my family
would
expect.
I was listening to that podcast you did with Tessa, and I was like, come on, Tessa, I'm not a Hufflepuff, please.
Yeah.
I could see the argument of a Ravenpuff, but, like, if Luna Lovegood can be a Ravenclaw, then I can too. But, yeah, you're right. It is... Yeah, a very weird feeling. And my parents were like, oh, I thought you would have wanted to go on a quiz show. I'm like, no, I'm doing this. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, were they worried about you?
Mum hasn't watched it at all, really. So she didn't know quite what was up. But me and Dad and my brother had watched it a fair bit growing up. So he knew sort of where I was going. But again, it takes a little while to sink in, that sort of thing. So I think they're just excited for me and knew it was going to be a great adventure and I get to do all this cool stuff. So yeah, they were happy for me.
How did you prep to go on the show?
I rewatched Luke's season, which actually ended up being very fortuitous when I got there because I had no idea that was coming. And I tried to get a little bit fitter. I'm not super fit, so I tried to do some... Actually, it was mostly riding into the uni just to try and get some form of cardio in between everything else. But yeah, just trying to look at all the different challenges, looking at what other people did and what mistakes they made, I guess, in a way. So just trying to mentally get myself in the right mind space to go into the game.
Yeah, and as someone who, you know, your parents thought you were going on a quiz show, but you weren't, you're going on Survivor, what were your expectations and, you know, maybe fears coming in? Did you think that you'd have a lot of success with it?
I mean, it's so tricky because the game of Survivor, you literally never know how it's going to go. But I knew that I had enough sort of social and strategic and physical. I think looking at it, I'm not sort of amazing at any of those three individually, but I felt like I had enough of all three of them together to be able to pull together some form of cohesive game. But again, like, you never know. Like, I could definitely see a scenario where I was first out, and that almost happened. So it definitely, like, I knew that to get to the bar in the game would take a bit of luck and a bit of skill and a bit of just going for it. But I didn't go out there I'm going to be first one home guaranteed. There's nothing I can do about it. Like, I really just went out there and gave it my best shot.
Yeah. So let's talk about you. You get to the island. What is your initial reaction to the contenders tribe that you're in and where you fit into it?
It's a weird one. I think every person on the contenders tribe is different. Like, I think we all sat around and realized that we've all come from different walks of life. There were no two people that were really super similar, I guess. So that was kind of exciting. So everyone's sort of a bit different. Everyone has sort of a level footing in that way. But yeah, I guess as time went on, I just tried to get to know people and talk to them and just, yeah, work my way in that way and try and build up these relationships.
Yeah. Who were you really clicking with from the beginning?
I think Sean was someone that I clicked with pretty quickly. And that ended up being quite fortuitous for me. Who else is there? I had a really weird relationship with Harry early on where we were being buddy-buddy, but I thought he was going for me and I was sort of going for him a little bit. So that was pretty amusing. Yeah, it's hard to say. I guess most of the guys on the tribe, I think I got along pretty well with. And I think I had obviously in the first few days had a bit of a chat with Sarah, both being from Adelaide. So that was quite nice. But yeah, it's hard to say any more than that, I guess.
Who were you to? Did you have a particularly negative relationship with anyone on the tribe in those early days?
Not negative at all. Like, I think even at the first tribal, one of the things I said that didn't make the edit was that there was no asshole. Like, there was no immediate, this one's going to be the first one. They're just running everyone up. They're going to make everyone angry. Like, there just wasn't that person on our tribe. So I think I got along with everyone sort of okay-ish. I guess some people I just took a little longer to click with than others. Mm. Like, I think it took me just a few days to warm to, like, Hannah and Sammy and Laura a bit as well. So it's just, yeah, but that's just the personality that I am. I sometimes just take a while to warm up to people.
Yeah, we saw you in those first couple of days maybe even feeling like a little bit sick, and they probably played that up to kind of explain some of the edit and stuff. But did you kind of worry that was putting a target on your back?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that probably contributed to it. Like, I just knew that we hadn't eaten anything and we were going to an immunity challenge on day two. And I was like, right, I need to eat something. All we have are these soaked beans. So I sort of went for it thinking that I needed food in my stomach.
Yeah, the beans you guys found, the magic contender beans.
Oh, the beans. Yeah, but soaking them was something. Like, it probably was good to have something in my stomach, but I think I ate them too quickly or I had too many or I don't know what it was, but they didn't agree with me for a good few hours. But I wasn't the only one who got sick. As far as I know, a few others did. But I sort of rolled around in camp for a few hours because I didn't actually get properly sick, but just felt awful for ages. And I thought, oh, God, I know how this looks. I know if we lose, we're going to come back and be like, oh, Baden's rolling around on the floor for hours. He's the easy vote off. So that was definitely going through my head at the time.
Yeah, floor rolling is an unfortunate thing in those first few days of the game, probably.
It just wasn't good.
Yeah, I mean, we also didn't really get to see a ton of the contenders' structure because you guys only go to Tribal Council one time. And even in that time, like, it's obviously between you and Laura, but it didn't feel like... We saw, you know, the way that the champions had, like, the 47, like, it was very locked in. So how did you see the structure, the power structure of the tribe?
Yeah, it's really weird because we even sat around saying that, look, like we've only won one reward and we've lost one immunity. So that's sort of the only two major times you see the contenders before Swath. So, yeah, there's a lot of just sort of stuff that never really came to light in the end. I think as time went on, it really felt like there was a sort of a power scale, I guess, where at one end you had Sean and Daisy who were sort of pulling in, I guess, me, John a bit as well. And then on the other end, you had Harry and Sammy, and they were pulling in people like Sarah and Hannah. And then sort of it was just weird how everyone else sort of fit in the middle somewhere. So we never got a chance to sort of test where those alliances truly lied. So that was really interesting, just sort of being around that. But I had good relationships with a bunch of people sort of across that divide, but it never got tested. So it's hard to know exactly where everyone stood.
Yeah, but when we get to this first vote in episode 2, the only vote the contenders go to Tribal Council, it was like a weird thing because from everything I've heard, you know, Sean and Daisy one side, as you said, and then like Harry's people on the other side. But then from what we saw on the TV show, it was very much like Harry and Andy campaigning for you. And then when we get to the swap, you're very much more with the Daisy John side of things. So I think that was confusing in the edit.
Yeah, it was a weird afternoon because for my part, like I felt like there was a lot going on and talking to other people just sort of since we've gotten back, there was sort of a lot of things going on. There were rumors being thrown around and things being said. For my part, I felt like I actually did do something to save myself. The edit sort of just made it look like I was like, oh, I might be getting a few votes. Right, okay. Cool. Like I looked very, very passive. But on the morning of either day 3 or 4, I don't remember exactly, there was a time where all the guys except for myself and Daisy all went off to the well together for something. I don't know what they ended up doing, but it was myself and Laura, Sammy, Hannah, Casey and Sarah all in the shelter together. And sort of as that happened, I remember Laura saying like, oh, looks like the weak half of the tribe's all together. And I sort of pricked my ears up and sort of we formed a sort of a conversation of six there. And she ended up saying that, look, we can all stick together and make sure that one of us doesn't go home first. It doesn't have to be a weaker physical person who goes home first. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, Laura. That sounds pretty good. Like, who are you thinking that we could go for? Like, we can all work together and make sure that it's not one of us. Who are you thinking? Trying to get her to sort of put a name that she wanted out there. And I don't think she ever really committed to a name, but I had enough that I sort of told Sean that she wanted a stronger person gone. I told Andy. I told John, I think. So I just tried to sort of spread that word around a bit. And for me, that was me trying to get myself off the bottom and putting Laura squarely on the bottom and making her a target. But that didn't make the edit for whatever reason.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously we see most of your stuff happening that, you know, at Tribal Council of what you're kind of delivering to the tribe. But I'm, you know, as you said, there's stuff happening back at the beach. And, you know, Harry and Andy, from what it's showed, did also want to save you. Why do you think they were so like gung ho about saving you?
Well, I think it's tough to say. I think it's almost a question for them in a way, but, they saw me as someone who was quite malleable, potentially someone they could work with in the future. Again, this was only at day 5 at this point, so maybe the Sean, Daisy and Harry, Sammy dichotomy hadn't really settled in yet, so it was still a bit up in the air where everyone was sitting. Like, I remember at one point I thought maybe the six guys could all work together and then maybe Daisy would be a seventh to have a majority, but that obviously didn't end up panning out. So it's really hard to know, what Harry and Andy were exactly thinking, but I do remember that I've talked to Harry since we got back and he said that I made him aware that Laura was someone who was probably playing a bit harder than I was, so, which I guess helped me in probably not the way that I intended, but it did do something.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing hard then to put her name out there, but it's good that you could put that perception out there. But it was shown to have Maddie kind of openly gun for you, even though you're saying that she wants someone who's strong out there. And he was, I think, pretty vocal about it. So what was it like just being put on blast like that by him?
Yeah, well, it's, again, that he never said that directly to me. So I'm sort of like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And everyone's saying, yeah, it's Laura. Yeah, it's Laura. And I'm like, okay, who's Laura voting for? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And then I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound good. Mm-hmm. And then Harry eventually told me that Laura was going to vote for Sarah. And I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if I believe that. So I sort of have definitely a bit of a rumbling that something could happen. And I think Harry even did say to me towards the end that there might be a vote or two going my way from Laura and whoever else. Which I was a bit like, oh, okay, like, as long as I'm not going, but it's so hard to know. But yeah, that afternoon there was a lot going on. I think there was even at one point a rumor that Jeez, this is really testing me now. I think someone started a rumor about Sean promising final three to, I think it was Daisy and Casey, and that rumor started spreading through the tribe at some point, and Sean was not happy about that. And I don't know where it came from to this day. So I don't know how that happened and whether it was helped me in any way, but there was a lot going on that I wasn't aware of and didn't make the edit either.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably a question, as you said, for the other contenders who we're not getting on the deep dive. So we need you to be able to give us the answers in terms of... yeah, but do you think that it was close? Like, do you think there was a real chance there, or you think you were the other name, but it was always going to be Laura?
I think it was always going to be Laura. Like, I don't think anyone changed their vote that tribal. I know I got my little speech about being the introvert who just mm-hmm. wants to play the game.
Such a rare
but I think everyone's mind was set. And I even said in that tribal, I made the point that I want to keep the tribe strong, and there are people here who want to vote out stronger players. And I made that very clear. So I hoped that would at least remind people that, yes, maybe Laura's a better vote to go for than me.
Yeah, but the speech was pretty impactful. Like, even if you weren't going home, you know, even I think Mattia said post-show that really resonated with him, you know, to work with you for future votes. So did you kind of feel that shift happening at camp?
Yeah, so sort of as we got back from tribal, I remember both Sean and Maddie came up to me individually and said, look, I just want to know that it was really good what you said back there. It meant a lot to me. It's really cool that you're doing this. And that was really nice of them to do that. Like, they didn't have to, and especially for Matt, because I hadn't worked with as much at that point. It was, it was really good of them to actually take the time to say that to me. So it definitely changed some people's perceptions of me, I guess. But again, it didn't really get tested in a major way because of how the next few challenges ended up going.
Yeah, I mean, because you guys are going to go, you know, you're never going back to Tribal Council. Like, you lose all the rewards, but you win all the immunity challenges. Actually, you do win that one terrible box. What did you get
yes,
in the terrible box?
The box. Oh, my God, the terrible box. That was a big day for me because, obviously, to that point, we'd had, four challenges so far. Three of them are brawn-based, so obviously I've been useless. And the one sort of agility-based one, which was the obstacle course, that's the first immunity challenge. I did okay, but I wasn't, like, amazing by any means. So I was sort of looking for that moment to demonstrate that I am useful in challenges, and that came that day with the running challenge. I think I surprised quite a few people on both tribes on that day, which was really cool to do because I haven't done it competitively in quite a while, but I did do surf lifesaving growing up, so I'm very used to running around in the water, and I think that did help me on that day. So that was a challenge that I was actually really happy with, as long as Ross didn't tackle me, which mm-hmm. thank goodness he didn't, because mm-hmm. he would have crushed me. So so I'm really glad I got that chance to sort of show that I was useful in challenges. I think that more than anything changed people's perceptions. I think Matt in particular was stoked that I could actually be something useful in challenges. So that was a really big moment for me personally to get that sort of out in the open that I can be useful at things. And I learned from that day on, like, if you have any sort of strength, you have to own it, because I undersold myself so much the first few days, which probably contributed to me being on the chopping block in addition to the beans. So mm-hmm. I learned a few things very quickly in that time.
Yeah, I mean, that was such an inspiring moment on the show as well, because it was like, it was right after the speech, I think, and then you like come back and you like win the challenge from what we see from the edit. And it was just like, it was, you know, great to watch. It's just a shame that it was for the box of crap. Like, you think you
could
have got like
bogus. Yeah, the box of crap. That's a nice way to put it. So I ended up doing well because John obviously dished out the prizes, and I think he was probably because the other thing was I was the one who carried the box out of that challenge. I think that was the tribe recognizing that I surprised and sort of helped out in that challenge. That was really nice of them to recognize me in that way.
Were you carrying it? Like, this feels way too light.
I was shaking, like, I'm shaking it. I'm not sure what's in here. But anyway, so John's dishing out the things. And I think maybe he was looking at me a little bit. I mean, obviously, it's a tough job for John to dish out things, but he did in such a jovial way that it didn't really matter what he ended up doing. But I think when he did, he held the cross launch in his hands, and I sort of raised my eyebrows, and he's like, yeah, okay, you can have that one. So that was really cool. And I'm very happy with what I got in the end, considering that most of the stuff we got ended up being taken away pretty quickly. So that was kind of disappointing.
Taken away?
So most of the items were limited to 24 hours.
Oh, my God. It gets
so
worse.
So it was really much, it was a box of time-limited crap. In
oh, my
Bay.
God.
So I think the only things that that people got to keep long-term were the pillow, the blanket, and the soap. And we only found that out after we had dished out all the prizes. So that was a bit of a bummer. So stuff like the hairbrush and the tweezers, which I'm sure Sean needed so desperately.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to hold on to them for long. So in a way, it was sort of a box of not much. But still, it was nice for us to have a little moment at least where we got to share in some form or reward.
I can't think of a worse reward, like knowing that they took the rewards away. Then you did very well.
Like, it literally was like, oh, it's just a weird thing. And it did inspire some sort of, what would you call it, just thoughts. I remember at one point thinking, oh, I didn't see Harry open that bar of soap. I wonder if there was something else hidden in there. Just these little things that sneak into your mind. So it definitely had its uses, I guess, in terms of making the show tick along.
Yeah, well, okay, so you're going to win all these challenges, so it's hard to ask questions about this, like, vast span of time where we just... Like,
yeah, this was a good, 10 days where we're just chilling on the beach, singing, almost literally singing around the fire at night. Like, it was such a weird feeling.
And so many people didn't get confessionals. We're like, what are we missing here, you know?
Yeah, well, again, like, it's so weird. I think I said before that this sort of split ended up occurring with Sean and Daisy on one side and Harry and Sam on the other, but... I definitely remember feeling like myself, Sarah, and Hannah were on the bottom, if that makes sense, in terms of physicality. So I remember at one point I had a few chats with both Hannah and Sarah about trying to make sure it wasn't any of us that ended up going next, if we did go to Tribal before SWAT, which obviously we didn't. But I think that was the first time I tried to tell a lie, and I didn't do a good job of it at all.
What was the lie?
I think... it was actually to do with the conversation I had with Harry, because Harry was trying to get me to go for Hannah, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure he was trying to get Hannah to go for me, and I think I tried to keep that from her, and I think I went all red in the face, and I spluttered and stammered, and it didn't go well at all, so I'm sort of glad that didn't make a big impact in the end.
We should have known that if you were going to have plans with the contender women, it wasn't going to make the air, so you could put all your embarrassing stuff there.
That's a good point. I mean, it's such a shame that it ended up going that way, because there was some good... It actually would have been fascinating to see if we had gone to Tribal between day 5 and SWAT, because I feel like if we'd gone to Tribal sort of day 8, then it might have still been me or maybe Hannah or Sarah or someone like that. Probably not Sarah, actually, because she did really well at those strength-based challenges, so she was seen as an asset in that regard. So maybe me or Hannah, but as we got closer to the SWAT, it really felt like that it could have been a Harry or a Sammy or even a Daisy that was... next up, just the way the split was going, I remember just before SWAP, Sean reckoned that we had 6 people on board to vote out Harry, but they included, who was it he said? It was me and him, me and Sean and Daisy and John. And then I think the 5th and 6th would have been Andy and Casey to make a majority with the 11 left on that tribe. And looking back at that now, I'm like, oh, I don't know if that would have come off or not, particularly with Andy. So it would have been fascinating if we had gone to Tribal, what would have happened.
Yeah, it would have been really interesting. I mean, you're someone who lived with the contenders, the only person we're going to talk about from their perspective, at least for the next short while. Did it shock you watching it back to see, you know, Sam gets no confessionals, Hannah, I think, gets one, Casey's invisible for, like, episodes and episodes. Like, their stories were completely erased, and to us now, they're, like, unknown figures of the game, basically.
It is tough. And again, like we pointed that we did actually sit on the beach and say, look, like, we're not going to get a lot of airtime here. We're winning all the immunities and losing all the rewards. Yeah. So that is...
But there's a difference between not a lot of airtime and...
You're right. There's a difference between not a lot and nothing.
No confessionals.
And I think particularly we were getting confessionals on the Contenders Beach. It's just they were all going to a few people. So... And I guess in some ways you want to have the best content available. And obviously, particularly Andy really handed up in his confessionals. So I guess they're looking for that. But it's tough when you don't get much at all. And I definitely see that. I guess in a way I was lucky to actually be on the chopping block in that second episode, because at least I got something then.
Well, you would have got something. You came second. Like, you were going to get content.
Yeah, fair enough. But there was, I still had gaps, even post-merge, I think I had gaps in confessionals. So it just, you can't read into the edit as much as some people may think anymore. So that's really interesting in that regard. But no, you're right, it does suck. And I think particularly with Sammy, there was one of the immunity challenges. I think it was the one with the rope maze. We ran through it in pairs. And that was a big moment for me and her particularly, because we sort of paired off in a way where all the pairs were of equal strength is what we were trying to do. But I knew that I was the weakest guy running through that course and Sammy was the strongest female. So actually Sammy was the one who pulled me through that challenge. Whereas with all the other pairs, I think it was the guy sort of more helping the girl get through. So it's just, that was a really big moment for her, I think, because it was her that got me through that. And I don't know if I could have done it without her. And that's why on that day, we let her carry the immunity idol out of the challenge, because she was the one who won it for us.
Now, the carrying of things is really more of a thing than I've ever known.
Yeah, sometimes it was sort of hard to organize, but sometimes it was actually quite symbolic, where we would try and let the person who sort of had the biggest impact actually go and collect Billy, as we ended up calling him because we had him at camp so much.
I feel like if I'm a lazy person, I feel like if I were to win a challenge for my tribe, I'd be like, I want my reward to be that I don't have to carry anything. Like, you carry things for me.
Billy is actually quite heavy, so in a way it is better almost to not have to carry him. But, yeah, you could tell we didn't have a lot of time on our hands. We started naming everything.
Yeah, it's such an ugly idol for you to name as well, the corpse idol. Just terrible.
Yeah, well, it was the skull of some sort, wasn't it? But, yeah, I think it was Daisy who came up with the name being a Billy Idol reference. But,
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
As we said, barely any rewards that count, but you do get taken across for burgers on the Champions Tribe. Were any early relationships formed in that very short time?
That was a very interesting day because I was not expecting that at all. I think you can tell from my face. I'm like, oh, they're going to take someone cool. They would never pick me. And then they did. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. And I wasn't prepared to have to pick someone else to go with me as well. And I think I panicked in that moment. I was like, okay, I knew whoever I picked, it was going to be somewhat controversial. Is there anyone who stands out on like a solo basis? Like, I ended up taking Sean because he had just done that solo tug of war with Ross. I didn't actually see him even slip, so I didn't know that he felt so guilty about it at the time. So I'm like, I'll take Sean just because he was the one on one at the end, in a way. But because I didn't have time to sort of think strategically about who would be a better choice. And the only other name going through my mind at the moment, I think, was Matt, just because of how much of a strong force he was of positivity in the tribe and how much he deserved it, I guess. So, yeah, and obviously it ended up contributing to a subplot in a way I had no idea about. So that's pretty cool.
What was that subplot?
The idol subplot that happened. Sean and Dave got to have a little chat.
Yeah, I mean, that was gold because there was no way that the champions were going to bring Sean across if David had anything to say about it. But then you got to do it.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, it was exactly. Like, that was quite surprising in a way. And we got the beers with us, which is great because I don't drink. So, but yeah, on that day at the beach, I tried to chat to everyone. Like, I definitely tried to get to know people in whatever conversations happened. I did chat to everyone at one point or another. But it's tough to say. I was actually trying to figure out what sort of splits were present in the Champions Tribe, and no one was giving me anything. I just said, look, we're a strong eight. You know, we've had to vote off some people, but we're a tight eight now. Nothing's going to break us. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, you would say that. But no one was really giving me anything. And I, in the response, just said that we're a strong 11 and nothing's going to break us either. So didn't really get much out of that in a way.
Yeah.
I think I did have a bit of a chat. I think thinking forwards from that point, I had a chat with Luke. I said I was a fan of him and that I watched his season just before I got out there. And it was so cool to be able to meet him in person. So he definitely took that knowledge to the post-swap sort of conversation with me, I guess. So that's interesting in a way I hadn't really thought about.
Yeah. Well, we do get to the swap at a point. You never have to go back to Tribal Council, you know, as a contender, and now you become a champion. So, you know, Luke and David are swapping over. And we're going to see this immediate flip within, you know, 24 hours, I think, of the swap.
Big day.
What's your part in all of this?
Yeah, well, it's weird because coming into the swap, like, we all felt it was coming. We knew that we were four contenders up on the champion. So, like, okay, if the swap's coming, it's got to be soon because we can't have four, potentially five people sitting out of challenges every day. So we all talked about it and the fact that we felt a swap was coming at some point. And we all said, look, like, contenders have to stay strong. You know, we should all sit together, just vote the champions out. We knew that the champions would be a minority on at least one tribe, probably both tribes. And it turns out, I looked at it the other day, it's actually, we were odds on to be a majority on both tribes, but it just didn't end up going that way. So in that regards, it's quite interesting that we could have just had the draw gone a bit differently, had majorities on both tribes and got all contenders to merge.
Would the contenders have done
so,
that?
Well, I think the argument was is that obviously challenge strength is still a big consideration at this point. Like, we know we've got a probably half a dozen more immunities until merge, and we know that we want to get all of us to that point. So when we looked at the champions we had with us, being Luke and Dave, we knew that they were both really good at challenges.
Mm.
Like, I reckon if we'd had a Pia or a Janine or maybe even a Ross on the side with the strong contender majority, we would have taken them out without issue, I feel like.
Right.
Just because what's the reasoning? Just because keeping contender strong and ourselves the best chance to win challenges. But I had a chat with Daisy at one point, and she's like, look, if we get rid of Luke and Dave, what if we then lose every challenge until merge? Like,
there's
that
only two people as
us.
Well. Like, eventually you're going to have to turn on each other.
Yeah, exactly. And that's probably ringing in other people's minds as well. I know that it's come out next in interviews that Sammy, Hannah and Sarah, or some of those three did try and approach Luke and Dave to vote with them as well. So it's definitely a game of eat and be eaten, and I think we all got a little bit too paranoid with 2 and 7. So it's just the way it ended up going, hey?
Yeah, I mean, well, it makes sense because if you guys end up flipping with 3 with their 2, if you're going to lose both of them and then be really down in terms of challenge strength, then you're 3 versus 4. So who goes then?
Exactly right. And that's the thing. I felt like me, Daisy and John were on one side of the contender 7 that we ended up with Hannah, Sammy and Sarah on the other 3. And Andy, I don't know where he would have gone in that scenario. He could have gone either way.
Mm.
In retrospect, I felt like he was with us to be a 4. But I'm not so certain about anything with Andy anymore. So that was definitely playing on our minds as well. Like, if we do get rid of Dave and Luke, who goes next? So I think, yeah, Daisy and John took the initiative and they brought me in as the 5 to make sure that we got rid of Sammy.
Yeah, when I spoke to Luke, he kind of indicated that you were pretty much like the last one to be brought in.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that, Daisy was like super keen, and he said that, based on the fact that you were transparently in, that's how he trusted it as well.
Yeah, in retrospect, I probably did give a little bit too much away because obviously we would have liked to have flushed an idol at the same time, but it just didn't end up going that way. I look back, I just remember, I reckon as soon as we got back from the swap, like that day, I pulled a few people aside. I'm like, look, we give Luke and Dave an inch, they will take an absolute mile. And boy, didn't that turn out to be true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember saying that to a few people, and that's when Daisy was like, oh, hold on. Like, if we get rid of Luke and Dave, then we lose all these challenges. So it was definitely from that point, even then, there was potentially consideration. But I suppose the key point of that day is that when Daisy and John came to me and said, look, like, they said to me, look, we don't have to do it now, but if you get on board, we have the numbers to go for Sammy. Do you want to? And I had a few questions for them. I think I actually asked them 2 questions. I said, does Andy know about this? And they said, no. And I said, can we wait 1 more vote? And they also said, no. So I ended up trusting them. It's looking back, I think, again, you have to realize that this is only our 2nd tribal for the contenders. So we're still learning how this thing works. And in the first one, I obviously didn't know the full plan. And that probably rattled me up way more than it should have. So when the opportunity came to be a part of the full plan and know what was going on, I probably jumped at it perhaps a bit too eagerly even. But it's so tough to know in retrospect. Like, it ended up working out for me in the end. But in that moment, perhaps we should have stayed contender strong for a vote or two. Obviously, had we known both Luke and Dave had idols, that might have changed things as well. So there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I mean, did you have much of a personal relationship with Sam for her to then be the target, or you were happy with her of those couple of people to be the target?
It was tricky. Obviously, me and Sammy did have that one challenge where we worked together, and that was really good. I'd had a few conversations with her about living in Perth and her time with The Amazing Race. That was a bit of a conversation starter for us, but I suppose it never came up in the edit, but I didn't know who voted for me at that first tribal. Like, I knew that my name had come up 4 times. I knew that Laura was one of them, but I didn't know who the other 3 were.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did think that Sammy was one of them. Obviously, it wasn't in the end. It ended up being Harry, Daisy, and Andy.
Mm-hmm. But, all the people.
Yeah, all the people that ended up working with in one form or another later on. So I actually thought that Sammy had voted for me in that tribal, and that's why I was probably more happy to vote her off at that point. I couldn't see a it's tough. Like, you tend to want to work with people that you get along with better, and I did get along with her fine, but I got along with other people more, I guess. So I ended up, I was like, yeah, okay, like, Sammy's a good choice, I guess. I probably being too eager to be on the plan, I did just sort of roll with it.
Yeah, and you talk about the social connections. Had you bonded quite quickly with someone like a Luke who we see, and even a David, or was it very much just like the strength and the numbers, like you say?
The strength and the numbers, definitely. Like, I even probably avoided getting to know them too much, just because I knew if I gave them an in of any sort, they would take it and run with it. So obviously Daisy and John ended up getting to know Luke and Dave quite quickly on that first night, but I wasn't a part of that. So I sort of like had superficial chats with them, but like nothing too deep, because I just knew that, yeah, socially, if they got an in, they would take it. So
yeah.
Yeah. And I think even Luke said in his interview with you that, like, I was probably quite standoffish with him and Dave at first, just because I didn't see a future for them in the game with me. But I guess that all changed very quickly.
Yeah, what was the vibe like after that tribal council? That's a huge flip very early on. That's like the break in the contenders at your second ever tribal council. Andy's left out, that, you know, Sarah and Hannah as well. So what's the vibe like then?
Oh, it was a weird vibe. I think we all just, I think Luke was actually said to me, I'll just come back and don't say much and just sort of just go with it and say, oh, it is what it is. But obviously, I did go on to say to a few people sort of the next few days, look, I hadn't had a good working relationship with Sammy in that regard. I thought she'd voted for me. I didn't really trust her that as much as some of the others. So, it's just a weird vibe for sure. But and then from that point on, I definitely realized, okay, Luke and Dave aren't just going to be in and out. They're going to be here for a bit longer, so I should probably try to get to know them a little better.
Yeah, because the Luke relationship ends up being so key.
Huge for my game. So it was actually, I think it was shown a lot later in the edit, but it was the day after the Sammy vote where I started to get to know Luke properly. So that was when we went for that long walk along the beach and we talked about being the unlikely duo, no one to see us coming. That all happened sort of just after the Sammy vote.
Yeah, and there's such a great secret scene that they didn't put on the show of you guys fishing and how Luke's going to be your dad. I love that.
Yeah, that was really lovely. Like, that's one of those things where, like, it's nice to just have a moment like that. And it was also just good for me and Luke to be out there together, I guess. Like, we were chatting quite a lot. And Luke's a night chatter, as he probably said. So a lot of it doesn't end up making the edit because there can't be tons of night footage.
Yeah, okay. But, that's an Australian Survivor thing. Because in US Survivor, they'd get that footage, but I get you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the relationship with me and Luke, that's when we ended up naming it the Stars Alliance, which never ended up making the edit either, but that was our name. I think he didn't quite understand what my PhD was at that point.
No one does.
Like, well, his argument was, I'm a star and you study stars. And I'm like, sure, Luke, whatever. In my mind, I was half like, I'm just trying to do this to get information out of him, figure out what they're thinking with this mysterious swap idol that keeps being talked about. So my mind was like, sure, look, give it a name. I'm not really seriously into it at this point. But over the next sort of week, it ended up becoming quite a lot more. And I realized that it would be good for my game to have an in with the champions, especially coming into Merge.
Yeah, and the next vote is kind of like this tug of war between Andy and Sarah. Did you have much of an opinion on that?
Oh, that was a weird day. I reckon, again, a lot of the tribal days are weird for various reasons. But we sort of got back from that challenge and Hannah and Sarah went straight off to the well together. And so the six of us were all at camp. And we all just stand around and go, right, who are we going for? And I pushed for Hannah because I'd had a bit more of a personal relationship with Sarah than Hannah at this point. And I felt like that she was better to keep around for my game. But I think me and John might have been the ones who said that they wanted Hannah gone, but everyone else just said, nah, Sarah. And it was partly because of just a challenge mindset. Again, like, we obviously, it sucks to say it, but when Sarah did do the Tower of Terror challenge, obviously it was a demon that she couldn't conquer, and if we went back to the Tower of Terror on an immunity challenge, that's essentially a forfeit in some ways, especially if we're down on numbers and we can't sit her out. So I think that was sort of the argument that convinced me that, yeah, it's what we have to do. It's not something I want to do, but it's what we have to do. And that was probably one of the hardest votes for me personally, because I it's not something I wanted to do at that point. But I guess in this game, I was comfortable in my position in the majority of this group and knew that if it wasn't going to be Sarah that vote, it was going to be Sarah the next vote. So I knew it had to be done eventually and, had to go through with it.
Yeah, well, actually, the numbers are, like, going to drastically change because you guys win the immunity challenge and then you get to steal someone back to your camp. And in some of the exit interviews I did, there was a lot of talk about how, like, you guys kind of had a sense that might be happening because you were going to the tribal council and then there's a unanimous vote for Sean. So were there many chats about that, and what was your strategy in stealing Sean back to the tribe?
Yeah, well, that was a interesting afternoon because we'd obviously won that immunity challenge, which was good for us. And what else is there to say about that? So we'd just won the reward that day, the day before we got the plates and the Jaffa reward. But we also, and again, it didn't make the edit, but I've got a picture from the publicity people of me with this piece of parchment that came with it. So I guess it's fine to say, but we got a piece of parchment that said, hey, guys, tomorrow's immunity challenge is going to involve building a human tower up to a height of 4 meters, so get practicing. Mm-hmm. So we did do a bit of practice, and I think Luke particularly straight away said, right, we have to have two teams, because he was thinking back to his season where they had a challenge where they had to build a human tower to build this tall structure of some sort, I remember. Something with a lot of bamboo. I don't remember the specifics, but he said that two teams had to be the way to go. So that was why in that challenge building the blocks, I was on Luke's shoulders and we had Andy on Dave's shoulders. Mm-hmm. So that was all sort of pre-planned the day before. But anyway, aside from that, we come back, we won immunity, we're told we're going to tribal. And I pretty quickly said around the campfire that there's no way we're going just to watch. Something is going to happen. And I didn't know what it was. And I personally thought that whoever got the most votes would be coming back with us.
Right.
And I said that straight away. And I said, yeah, like, that's my personal opinion, that there'll be some sort of swap going on.
Because they have done that. They've done all variations of this type.
Exactly. Yeah. They did the save and send with Tegan the previous season, and they did the mystery swaps earlier on. So I knew it felt like something, some sort of kidnapping was coming. But the only part I wasn't sure of is whether who would be voting, the contenders or the champions. And I personally thought that it would be the contenders. I thought there's no way they give us that sort of power where the champions get to choose who they take. But they ended up doing that. So, but I sort of floated as like, oh, probably whoever they vote out will come and join us. But there's an off chance that we get to choose. And then I remember Daisy, and I'm going to apologize in advance for attempting her accent, but she said something like, it was something along the lines of, well, can we all agree that if we get to choose, we'll pick Sean? Sorry, Daisy.
I'm so glad you qualified. It was the accent. I would have been
We all said, oh, yeah, sure. If we get that, we'll do that. Not thinking it wouldn't happen. So just sort of joking around a bit in a way. But when we did get the choice and we're told we'd have no time to talk, like that's the only name on everyone's minds. There's no time to make a change. And I think Daisy even said, oh, there's no talking, right? Jonathan says no talking. And then Daisy just turns to us and said, stick to the plan we talked about, guys, and then goes off to vote. Mm. So strategically, maybe not the right decision, but it's hard to know because, again, like we knew that there was still an idol floating around somewhere between Dave and Luke, and it ends up that Luke also ended up having an idol. So if we brought another champion across, there's no guarantee that we can actually just take them in and out like you potentially could. So I can see the argument. Again, listening to Janine's deep dive just before, she said that it was stupid of us to not take a champion and vote them out straight away. But I feel like the confidence wasn't there for us to be able to pull that off. Obviously, we'd been working with Luke and Dave for a few votes now, and it's just hard to know if there was no guarantee that it would be an in and out, and then we could have just screwed ourselves over by bringing a champion over. So I think we went for the safer option to shore up our numbers and make sure that Sean was on the good side of the numbers for once.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's really tough is that from Janine's perspective, she's on that tribe that's very much still champions versus contenders, but you guys had a couple of tribals, had very much like become this blended family where you're working with Luke and Dave, as you said. Like if it was strongly champions contenders, you know, if you had, say, voted out Luke and David and never worked with them, maybe you are stealing over Janine and just voting her right out as well, you know, but you guys had been mixed at that point. So I don't know, much that contenders champions divide at that point.
Yeah, so obviously, yeah, the divide had been broken a lot more on our side than it had on their side. So, of course, it makes sense for Janine to say that we should have just taken a champion and got rid of them. But we'd obviously been working with Dave and Luke, even though that was ended up being based on a lie with the whole swap idol being found out by that point to be a fake. So, yeah, I still feel like it was the right choice given the circumstances and given that we couldn't talk about it at all. But I can see the argument of just taking someone like a peer or Janine and then voting them straight out.
Yeah, I mean, a time when Pia wins, you're like, we should have voted out Pia at every single tribal
council
until we did it.
Yeah, of course you think that's like, oh, Pia could have gone so many points.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But yeah, I do think when Sean came back, like, it's such a change in dynamic from what we saw. Like, he is the one who snaps it back to contenders versus champions. And, you know, you say you're super tight with Luke at this point, and then Luke's now a target again. Like, what was that like, this new dynamic for you?
Yeah, so it was obviously Sean did come back and he did sort of rally us together. And obviously he's just gunning for Dave so much because of this whole fake idol thing. And I think it's almost not quite transparent, but yeah, very obvious that they're going against each other from this point onwards. So that obviously contributed a bit. But I think the thing with me and Luke was that we had a pact from, again, when we started this alliance thing, that I think I said to him, look, I'll keep your name out of things as long as I can if you do the same to me. And if I can't, I'll let you know. So I think from that side, I was trying my hardest to make sure that it was Dave that was going and not Luke, and hoping that on the other side, he would be doing the same for me at some point. So when it came up that, yeah, we're going to gun for Dave and Luke and try and fly survivors and get them out, Sean was obviously pushing for Dave to get the most votes, but I was also pushing for that to happen.
Yeah, were you pushing? Because obviously Hannah's going to be the secondary split for a target. Did you have any say on that, or was it someone else's idea?
I think Sean came to me and said that the ultimate's going to be Hannah. He told me that like obviously there's a chance Luke has an idol, which I agreed that there was a chance, probably a higher chance than Hannah having an idol for sure. So I think it made sense that we did that, where we split the vote between Dave and Hannah, and it ended up being the right play because they did both have idols. So, but I definitely think it was Sean coming to me and suggesting that that was the play to make. And I think at one point he even told me that, look, we're not going to tell John about it just in case. So at one point I think we were telling John that the plan was just everyone votes Hannah.
Because he was so close with Dave and Luke?
I think that was what Sean and also Daisy were worried about, that he was too close to Luke and Dave and that wouldn't end up suiting us. So I think at one point we were telling him, yeah, we're all voting Hannah.
Yeah.
But I think, again, talking to Sean since we've gotten home, I think he did end up telling John before Tribal that we're going to try and get Dave out. And if he plays his idol, then it'd be Hannah that goes.
If you had it your way, though, who would you choose? Because Luke, you've got the Star Alliance. Hannah is a contender. Are you happy with the way it turned out? Or do you think that for contender strong, Luke needed to go there?
No, absolutely. I'm happy with how it turned out, for sure. Like, obviously, Dave and Luke both played their idols in the end. So neither of them were going regardless, I guess, unless we'd done a way better job of keeping them comfortable.
Well, that seemed like it was mostly Andy.
It was actually, yeah. Because I think Luke had come to me in a panic sort of late in the day and be like, oh, I'm really worried. Like, are you sure it's not me? I'm like, look, mate, I told you that you're not in trouble and I'm voting for Hannah. Both of which ended up being true. So I was trying to be a tad selective with my words there. But I have had this relationship with Luke, but that did not extend to Dave, despite Luke maybe wanting it to. So I knew that Dave was in trouble, but I didn't tell Luke that.
Yeah.
And it is funny looking back at the vote, because if Dave and Luke had just gone along with the plan and voted Hannah and not played their idols, Hannah still would have gone home and they would have both saved their idols.
Yeah.
So it is funny how these things work out. Because Andy changed his vote
and that just messed up all the numbers.
Yeah, because me and John were sitting on the beach, sort of just down the beach, when Andy went out to Dave and Luke, and I saw them have this story conversation, and then Andy came over to me and John, and I was like, oh, Andy, what are you talking to them for? And he's like, oh, yeah, just reconfirming the plan that we're telling them it's all Hannah. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure, Andy. But it did look a little odd. And then obviously when the vote came down, it's like, oh, something has happened. That vote for Daisy should not have been there.
Yeah. Well, that tribal was another, like, completely insane tribal council. There's a vote for Daisy, as you said, which must be, you know, not great from a contender point of view, because it wasn't a champion putting that vote down.
Dave and Luke had decided they weren't in on the plan anymore and were going to vote for Sean, which I can see from their perspective makes sense for them. And yeah, but this extra vote for Daisy, I'm like, where did that come from? And I think the whole way home, I was sitting there going, I was thinking, oh, who could it be? And I worked through the list and I'm like, it must have been Andy. Like, I couldn't see it being Sean or Daisy. It wasn't me or John. I couldn't see Hannah doing it unless she got really panicked and someone told her something. So I was like, yeah, it's Andy who's done that. And he came back and he tried to say that Hannah voted for Daisy. And I was like, nah. Like, as soon as I got Daisy away, I'll talk to Daisy on her own the next day. I'm like, no, that's not true.
Yeah. A tough one. Like, do you think they were believing him? Because he maintains that he was, like, keeping that lie till the merge.
I think the problem was, is that what Daisy said to me is that it was Andy's word against Luke and Dave's word. And I think she trusted Andy's word more at that point. So, yeah, but I'd seen the conversation, and Luke and Dave had told us exactly what they had said happened with Andy, that he'd come to them and had this real conversation. And you're being fooled all day. So that matched with what I had seen. And again, Luke, I guess, had no reason to lie to me at that point. So I did trust that what he was saying was true. And it made sense with the votes that I saw.
Yeah. Were you concerned at this point, if you had time between all this madness, for the other contenders who are now, like, without Sean on the other side, Casey, Matt and Harry?
It's yes and no. Like, obviously, I wanted the contenders to make it to merge, but at the same time, I wanted myself to make it to merge first, and I clearly wasn't at the point where I was going to throw challenges to save them. So I was sort of worried. Obviously, I was worried about Sean, but I felt like we got to bring him over. So the other three, Harry, again, I was very like, oh, how can I trust you? You've been trying to work against me without telling me. You lied about your child. How can I trust anything you say?
Did you believe the child thing?
Oh, completely. Oh, I had no clue. I think me and John were two of the most clueless out there.
Because
I chatted with Harry about his kid, like nothing deep, but I guess I just didn't ask the right questions and he had answers to the questions I did ask. So I had no reason to doubt him at all. And that was quite a surprise for me. And I would just remember thinking, I can never trust you again. Like, obviously it didn't end up working out that way, but geez, can't believe that. So yeah, Harry, I was like, oh, if Harry goes, like, he lies about everything. He's been working against me without telling me. Sure, he can go. Casey, again, like, I tried to have a relationship with her strategically. And again, that was part of our conversation up on the towers in that immunity challenge just before swap. I was trying to talk to her about strategy for quite a while up there, actually. But at first, I remember she was just so petrified of the height and everything that we couldn't talk strat for about... Oh, it's hard to know the time, but for most of the time we're up there, we were just talking about life back home because she couldn't focus enough to be able to have that conversation. And just in the last sort of 5 minutes, we were talking about how the tribe was sitting and where we would go if we lost and all that. And I was trying to tell her, look, can't trust Harry. You know, he's lying to everyone. And that's the line that as I fell, I was talking about Harry and saying, yeah, we can't trust him. He's been lying to everyone. So that's it. Made a good little moment in that challenge.
Yeah, I mean, were you cognizant that the other tribe were throwing challenges to get rid of them?
Obviously, there was the challenge with the the bocce balls and the gutters or whatever.
It's really hard to describe that challenge. It was just like standing, kind of.
Yeah, the standing on little platform challenge. In that one, I remember it wasn't. The problem was I was the furthest away from the champion, so I wasn't actually watching what they were doing too much. But I remember noticing that Janine and was it Janine and Abby working together? And that one were rolling their ball around quite a lot together. I'm like, oh, who's winning, guys? Looks like you're playing a game of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't in the right position to say that. But obviously Daisy was watching that challenge and she said, yeah, they threw it 100%. I'm like, okay, God, it's not good for the contenders. But again, like in my mind, the contender champion divide had started to break up a little bit. Obviously not as much on the other side, but on our side it had, and I was trying to get myself to merge over anyone else. So if they want to throw a challenge, then yeah. So I didn't have a super strong relationship with Casey, and then with Matt, I don't know, I knew he's a really good guy, and we had lots of good chats when we were on the same beach, but when you only see him at challenges, you just see that wrestling persona, and I actually almost forgot that for a while. I'm like, ah, if Matt goes, whatever. So I wasn't terribly fussed about losing those three, and if it happened, it happened, and I just knew that once we got to merge, I would have to find a way to make what we had work.
Yeah. Another thing that you're a part of in this time is the popcorn reward. I love that you had your cat in the video.
Yes.
That's what I would.
No,
that's
absolutely.
All I would care is have my cat. Does your cat have Instagram?
No, my cat does not have Instagram.
So I was going to get your cat to follow my cat. Get your cat on Instagram, then they can follow my cat.
Jeez. No. Yes, that was a lot of fun, that challenge. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about. It was, again, for me personally, another moment where I got to do okay. Oh, actually,
yeah,
quite well
so
in a one-on-one
challenge.
So, again, in terms of confidence, this is where I started getting called a challenge beast, which I wasn't a fan of because I was trying to keep my head down. So that wasn't so good. But it was, again, a big moment to be able to go and have that popcorn reward. When we did win that challenge, I actually thought about giving my position up to someone else on the other tribe because, like, I missed my family for sure. I know everyone misses their family, but I knew that there were people out there who missed them a lot more.
But you have a cat.
I do have a cat. But, like, I remember at the time I was really feeling particularly for those with young kids back home.
That's not more important than a cat.
I know. And I know I said on the show that what about my cat and all that, but I did truly feel for the people who had young kids back home. But on the contender tribe, as it was, the contenders over there didn't have kids. Obviously, Harry didn't.
Oh my god! In a different world, you're giving it up to Harry.
In another world, I might be like, "Oh, Harry, I want you to go and see Austin."
Lucky you
but
didn't. That would have looked
so
bad.
I didn't know any of the original champions well enough to know that they really missed their kids. So, it did occur to me, and I wanted to do something like, "Oh, can we like show like someone else's video and I get to have the popcorn," but obviously that wouldn't have worked with the way the twist of that challenge ended up going. So I ended up not saying anything, but it did occur to me at one point that I might have given it up had things gone differently.
Yeah. Were you thinking much about, cause you watched last season, you watched Sam. So did you think much about Benji and the nachos in that moment?
Yes, absolutely. So when we obviously get up to the cinema and we find out we're going in one at a time, my thoughts were, okay, there's going to be something hidden in there. It's going to be something that's taped down in a way that you can't take it with you, and it'll be a clue of some sort. obviously that was a really bad read of what the survivor gods were thinking.
Yeah, that's very specifically similar.
In my mind, I was like, they can't make it something that's unfair to those who go first. Obviously, they did. But at the time, that's all I was thinking is like, they're going to hide, like, it's going to be taped to the table, or it's going to be bolted down somehow, or something like that. That's what all I was thinking. And in my mind, that means it's okay to go later on. So I didn't push to go early. And as soon as Daisy said, John? As soon as John said, people with kids go first, I'm like, I can't think of a way to argue that without looking like a bit of a dick.
The argument is my cat, Peyton.
Yeah, I know, I get the cat thing. But in the moment, it all happened kind of quickly as well. And then when Daisy just went, right, Dave, Luke, Sean, I'm like, oh, that's not a good result. But I couldn't think on my feet how to swing it away without making it a big scene and looking selfish.
Yeah, that's the hard thing.
But in retrospect, we should have put our foot down. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's not the best, but it is what it is. Obviously Dave went in and found it straight away. In my mind, if they had somehow maybe taped the popcorn machine door shut, that would have been really cool because you would have had to shovel popcorn out the bottom. And then again, that would have suited people who went into that reward later instead of earlier. So in my mind, that would have been a really cool way to do it. But of course, Dave just opened the door and grabbed the idol. So
yeah, were you concerned though? Then you went into the reward and there was no place really where something could have been taped down. And you didn't find anything?
Yeah, well, I'd spent the whole time tearing that place apart. I was sort of eating popcorn as I went, but I was not really looking at my family at all. Because I was just really hoping to find something, anything in there. And I think I sort of tore the bottom out of the popcorn machine, and I went right through the freezer. I looked under the couch, looked under the rug. I look back and I'm like, I should have just enjoyed the food and had a few more Choc Tops, but... yeah, I was really hoping there was something there, but I didn't find it. And obviously, there was nothing to find. I just knew that it did set off something in my head when Dave said, there's popcorn everywhere. I sort of opened the door and it spilled everywhere. I'm like, okay, that's a bit unusual. But
yeah, why is there this massive pile of popcorn on the floor?
But I was eating from the popcorn on the floor as well. It was great. But in my mind, I thought there's no way they just hide an idol in that place. But again, that was just a bad read on my part. So Dave ends up getting the idol.
Well, I guess, yeah, it could be different every time. You know, the last one was better to go later, and unless you're going to eat all the nachos. This one, you know, this one could have been better to go later if you're not going to spill popcorn all over the floor. But David
did
exactly.
That. Like, in my mind, if that popcorn machine was sealed shut, then probably the person who went last would have had the best chance of finding it. So it is what it is. The survivor gods have their ways with these things, and they make a plan, but...
You know, David, he would have been running towards that machine at full force if it was not opened. Like, he would have found a way to get in there.
Exactly. They would have just smashed the window or something. So, looking back, I could have done it, could have said something differently. I could have said, Sean didn't get his plate. We should let him go in first. And that might have been a way to get Sean in there first and give him a chance to get the idol. But I couldn't see a way to get myself in there early without losing some social capital. So I didn't push too hard for it.
The way would have been to make up a fake child on day one.
Clearly, that's the fake child. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I should have taken some lessons from Harry, obviously.
Yeah, well, speaking of Harry, you guys steal him back at a reward soon after this, and you're going to hang out with him for one of the first times and finding out that he's not a real dad, which was your relationship like with him. Were you able to reconnect a little bit at that time? Because he's going to ask you guys basically for some help.
Yeah, well, it was, again, we sort of got to that the palmy reward, which was delicious, by the way. That was a really good reward to get in terms of food. But obviously having Harry there was good as well. Actually, when we were up there, I remember I was pushing to bring Ross over because I thought, there's no way Harry makes it to merge. We should try and build relations with the champion while we can, get them on their own. And I felt like Ross had put my name up for the burgers back before swap, so I felt like I should put his name up in return. But obviously, I think a few people put their foot down and said, we've got to bring Harry over.
I feel like he was the only one trying to break down the champion versus contenders divide for so much of this time.
Yeah, I knew it had to happen eventually. It just took way longer than I thought it would. But
when did it happen? Like what, final seven?
Final seven, something like that. God.
That's a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So we bring Harry back to the Palmy Reward, and we get to have a chat with him. We ask him about what the vibe is like over there. He tells us to call Janine the godmother because it annoys her a little bit, so we all laugh about that. What else? He talks about his kid and said, I've decided, I'm scrambling on the bottom here, we're in real trouble. I'm just trying to make things work. He tells us about the idol, singular or plural at that point? God, I can't even remember. It must, yeah, the singular idol that he had played so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, so that's how Case went home. Right, okay.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then for me, it actually felt really bittersweet because I think he was sort of like, oh, you know, I'm in a lot of trouble. I can't see a way out of this. Like, oh, Harry, I wish there was something we could do for you.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, I wasn't throwing that. I didn't want to jeopardize my position in the game potentially to save him.
Yeah.
So it felt like a bittersweet, like, oh, this is like your last meal and then you're going to lose the next challenge and then you're going to be voted out and that'll be the last we see of you. So, but again, so sort of while Harry, Andy, Daisy and Sean are chatting about throwing challenges outside of the sort of the palmy shelter that's there, that leaves myself, John, Dave and Luke inside the shelter and we're sitting there sort of licking sauce off our plate or something like that. And I said to them, look, obviously Luke and Dave and John, I talked to each of them about what Andy had done at the Hannah vote. And each of them individually, I'd said to them, look, this is not good. I'm not happy that he's done this. He's gone against his word. He's tried to upset the apple cart. I'm not happy about it. And so obviously I'd had that conversation with each of them individually. And so then with all four of them together, I'm like, well, guys, we're a majority in this tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's vote out Andy next. So I actually pulled together the four of them there and said, look, we can all work together and vote Andy out if we go to tribal before merge. And everyone was on board with that.
Right. So if he'd managed to throw that challenge, because Luke said in his deep dive that he thought Andy would have gone, not him or Dave.
Yeah. And the next day I had a chat with John about that conversation with the four of us. And we sort of had like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I'm serious. Are you serious? And we both agreed that, yeah, we were serious and we would do that if we had to. So I think had we gone to tribal before merge, it would have been Andy that went. I potentially could have done something, maybe, because again, it would have been the case where Sean, Daisy and Andy are voting for either Dave or Luke, and Dave and Luke and probably John are voting for Andy, and that leaves me as a swing vote. And that scenario, so that would have been really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps I might have turned against Dave or Luke in that moment.
Right.
But obviously that didn't happen because I decided I did not throw the challenge.
Yeah. But what's motivating that? Like, at that point, why do you want to flip on Andy potentially?
Just after the Hannah vote, I'm like, you've been lying to our face. I can't trust you anymore. I have no desire to work with you anymore. I feel like he'd lost a lot of social capital by making that move, probably more than he might have realized. So when a name came up next, I'm like, yeah, Andy's got to be the next one to go. Because again, I'm trying to keep myself off the bottom as well. That's probably another key point. Like, we could all turn on the champions, but I think they'd embedded themselves too strongly at that point to reliably get a vote off on them. I know, for example, we had talked about potentially doing a 3-2-2 vote to try and flush any idols that were present. But I think the fear was that John was a bit too far gone in that regard, at least from Sean and Daisy's perspective, that we wouldn't be able to pull through on that. And suspecting that there was an idol in play between them, we knew that if we didn't have John on board, we couldn't guarantee the idol flush. So it just became a case of, well, if it's going to be a contender that goes, I need to make sure it's not me. And then Andy was the obvious person to put on the chopping block because of that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So if you're standing there with Andy and he's trying to throw the challenge, and you're kind of like,
yeah,
dude, it's going to be you. Like,
so yeah, that was a big sort of confusing moment for me, which it didn't make the edit. I don't know why we even like sort of waited until the challenge had just about started to have that conversation, because I tell Andy wanted to say something. I'm like, hang on, Andy, just wait a second. I'd obviously talked with Sean and Daisy individually about throwing a challenge, and I was of the opinion that it was too risky and something unexpected could happen if we did do that. So I was actually trying to say, look, I don't think we can do this reliably and guarantee that Luke and Dave go home if we throw it, and getting rid of a contender that's with us at that point would not be ideal. So that's why I ended up going, having that conversation with them individually. But for me personally, I needed a conversation with the majority of the tribe all agreeing on what they would do if we threw and who would go. And that conversation never happened. There was the time, I guess, but because I said to John, Sean and Daisy, I was iffy about it. Perhaps they decided that they didn't need to tell me, or if they had decided. Yeah. So without that sort of assurance that there was a four all going to work together in the case of a throw, I didn't have the confidence. And then when Andy says on the line, oh, we're definitely throwing this challenge, I'm just like, and then of course this is all running through my head. I'm like, okay, I haven't had a chance. Sean and Daisy haven't 100% confirmed this with me. Andy has lied to people at the last minute to suit his own game while working against what I was doing. So that obviously popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
I'd obviously had these conversations where it sounded like Andy would be going if we had thrown it. And that was very confusing for me, for him wanting to throw it in that scenario. That was very bewildering for me as well. But I just got to the point where I'm like, no, this is stupid. I think in my mind, I was just saying the best way to make it to merge for me is to not throw challenges. The best way to get through this game is to win immunity challenges. So that was sort of my mantra in my head at that point. And I remember starting the puzzle. I was sort of, I wasn't rushing. I was just sort of ticking along. I wasn't throwing, but I wasn't panicking and just sort of going along with the throw. And if Andy wanted to throw the challenge, and that's all good on him. But as the challenge went on, I just got stuck in this mindset where I just really wanted to win it. I don't know what it was. I think something, I don't know. I think I just saw it as like, again, like the whole challenge thing where I'm not doing good in challenges. This is my one chance to show that I am good at challenges and to be useful. And again, that's probably not the mindset. I should have a few votes from Merge, but it just, the longer it went on, I decided, nah, I'm doing this with or without you, Andy. And I just worked through him, which is great because he was hiding pieces from me and he was, what else did he do? He said he was holding the piece I needed as long as he could in his hands and then putting it back on the table in the furthest corner upside down.
That's a good way like as well to know his piece. It's just the piece that's most inconvenient.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think when we had to take a few pieces off to fit one in, he was sort of jumbling them up. And I'm like, Andy, mate, what are you doing? I think I called him a stunned mullet at one point and trying to call him out. I'm like, come on, Andy, snap out of it. We're winning this one. I'm not throwing this challenge. But he didn't take the hint, clearly.
Yeah. And what's the reaction of that back in camp? Because I know John was angry about it, of what we saw in later scenes in his voting confessional against Andy as well.
Mm-hmm.
John called out, Jonathan LaPuglia called out Andy. Luke and David were, you know, talking about it from the sidelines. Like, it wasn't subtle. So is there much of a conversation about that when you get back to camp?
Yeah, I think there was a conversation. Obviously, when Luke and Dave went around, I had a conversation with Andy, and he was like, wow, Pia must have been throwing it because there's no way that the two of them are trying as hard as we can, and I'm actively trying to stop you, and we still win. But apparently, Pia wasn't.
So yeah,
that's a weird conclusion from that scenario. But so I had a conversation with Andy, and he told me all the things he was trying to do, and he's like, "Oh, I just sort of just thrown a piece into the bush," and I'm like, "Yeah, Andy, if you really wanted to throw it that bad, you probably should have." But yes, and then later that night, I had a conversation with Luke and Dave individually. I'm like, yeah, this is what happened. And he told me he was throwing. He told me Sean and Daisy were in on it. So that's sort of, again, I didn't really keep too many secrets in that regard. I just sort of let it be known that this is what happened. And again, it paints Andy as the contender that goes next, not me, which was really important to me at that time.
Yeah, well, there's not actually going to be another tribal council because Ross is going to get medevaced.
Yeah.
Someone you'd only briefly met, but what was that experience like before the merge?
I think Ross was the person I was most curious about that I hadn't shared a beach with to that point, just because we hadn't had a level of Luke and Matt rivalry, but we had done 3 one-on-one challenges against each other. He had won more than I had, so that was amusing. I would love to chat to him about that. Obviously, I got to tell him about my research at the Burger Award, and it would have been good to actually tell him about that in more detail and see how that went. But, yeah, I was really sad to see Ross go. That shouldn't have happened. And it was just a really sad scenario when it's like, this has happened and we still have to go and finish the challenge.
I can see another world where you work with Ross, where he's part of, like, Operation Nighttime Rice. Like, that's where he fits in, you know?
Totally would have been as well. And Matt would have been a part of that too. Like, we could have had a big party at the other end of the beach. But, yeah, it wasn't to be, unfortunately. And, yeah, I was really curious to meet Ross, but it wasn't to be.
And now a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And we are back. Yeah, well, it does mean that you get to the merge, which you might have anyway, because the girls did want to vote out Simon at that point. But you get to the merge 6-6.
Yes.
You get to this opening challenge. You drop for spaghetti bolognese, which is pretty good effort, even if you have to share it with John and Sean. I think that was pretty good.
Oh, God. The thing was, we had run, I think a few people have said that on the interviews, we ran out of food sort of the day before merge. I think both tribes did. So we were all pretty hungry. And I was just like, pasta. I just wanted something filling. And that would have been in my mind for quite a long time. So I knew as soon as I saw pasta, I was going for it regardless. And had I known that Sean and John were going to go for it as well, I might have changed my tune. But just the way that challenge works, you either have to go for it or miss out. I didn't want to walk. I knew for certain I wasn't walking out of that challenge with nothing. So when I saw something substantial, I just went for it. And no regrets. Like, I got a bit of a feed, but we all agree that we could have had a fair bit more.
Well, you're going to get to this Andy vote. It's not a great vote for, like, the contenders in general. Andy goes home, puts you at a numbers deficit. Daisy wastes her idol on herself when she wasn't getting any votes, except for Andy. Where did you sit in all of this?
So the thing is, obviously, especially after Sean won the immunity, he's like, let's go to Rocks. And no. Like,
You're immune. You don't have to go to Rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Sean was immune, so he wouldn't go to Rocks. I didn't want to be in a position where there's a 1 in 9 chance that I go home on a lucky dip. And especially to be the merge vote where you don't make the jury, I was just like, nah, that's no good. But at the same time,
especially for Andy, who you were almost going to vote out like 2 days ago.
Yeah, well, the thing was, I couldn't. So I was definitely not going to go to Rocks, and I couldn't see a champion that would come across to make a 7. To vote out a champion. Like, they just reconnected so quickly. And yeah, Dave and Luke connected up with the other four. They seemed like such a solid 6. And I just knew that it was going to be a contender. We were, by definition, a lot more disparate and divided than the champions were. So it was, in my mind, it was inevitable that it was going to be a contender. And I was just working to make sure it wasn't me. And I'd obviously planted the seeds of Andy being someone who should go. And had made it very clear that I would vote for Andy, and obviously John had done the same. So that sort of set the train in motion that Andy was the one to go.
Yeah. What are your broad plans at this point? Obviously losing that number, you know, not having the numbers at the merge is often not a great thing, but like, what were you trying to achieve at this point in the game?
It's tough. Again, I think a lot of my game was actually just surviving, which, again, is not sort of deep strategic gameplay, but I knew that I had enough inroads, or I felt I had enough inroads with the champions to get myself off the chopping block immediately. I felt like within the contenders there were bigger threats that needed to be dealt with sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I had a relationship with Luke where we were both keeping each other's name out of trouble. Again, I'd done that, for example, at the Hannah vote. I'd made sure it wasn't him. And then he might have done the same for me at the Andy vote or some of the upcoming votes. I'm not quite sure exactly if he was pushing to keep my name out, but I hoped he was, because we had agreed on that. Again, I'd had a relationship with Dave, along with John, where we'd all agreed to vote Andy before merge. And additionally, I had introduced myself to each of the new champions for me pretty much the day after merge. I just went to each of them one by one and said, hey, I'm Baden. Nice to meet you. Tell me a bit about yourself. Just know that, like, if you ever need to chat about anything, don't hesitate to talk to me. I'm open to a lot of things. I just tried to get to know these new champions that I was going to be playing with. So I felt like that I had enough ability to make sure I didn't go immediately. Like, there's obviously that in my mind, it's like, okay, the 6 champs could lock ranks and guarantee themselves all final 6. That definitely came into my mind. But I felt like,
unlikely. I've
watched enough Survivor. Like, these alliance of 6 staying together and locking out the other 6. I couldn't see it happening. I thought at some point there would be a crack that opened, and I just had to make sure that I was there when that crack opened and exploited it. So I was definitely playing into that sort of idea where at some point there would be not many contenders and the champions would start to turn on each other when they felt they could. And I was playing to be there at that point. Yeah. I suppose at first, though, Dave was also telling me, oh, yeah, you know, we'll sit in the middle and we'll pick off a few contenders and we'll pick off a few champions. And like, yeah, sure, Dave. But in my mind, I could see him locking ranks as well. So it ended up, that was what I was playing for. So the first few votes, which were contenders, and then Dave was also a bit of a surprise bonus. I was playing to be one of the last contenders standing.
Yeah, which you were the last contender standing, but
yes, yeah, I did. It was actually me and Harry when the champions really opened up, but yeah, I was the last contender standing.
Yeah. I mean, from those new people you were meeting, the 3, Charlie's Angels and Simon, did you click really well with anyone in particular?
I remember getting a better vibe from Janine and Pia than Abby and Simon on those first few days, and I let Luke know that, knowing that he was quite close to Janine and Pia as well, so that was my gut feeling. I think I'd had a really good conversation with Janine, actually, one of those first days. So we obviously didn't end up working together too much, but I felt good about that at the time.
Mm.
But yeah, I think I just got a better vibe from those two in that moment. So whether that was just them being more personal or some acting skills or whatever, it's hard to say, but that's just how I felt at the moment.
Yeah. So, you know, getting to the next vote where Sean's going to go, you say you kind of knew that the contenders are going to be picked off for a while, but, you know, talking to Pierre and stuff, like, people going in there voting for Luke, like, there was a chance it could have happened, but Luke's someone you're working with as well. So going into that tribal council and with all the, you know, Ring of Fire strategizing, mm-hmm. what were you hoping for at that vote?
Oh, man, I knew nothing about the Luke vote, which, again, probably shows that the unlikely alliance that no one saw coming was probably a bit too obvious by that point. And I think I was pulling Luke aside probably a fair bit too much for it to be non-obvious what was going on mm-hmm. between me and him. So obviously I wasn't included on the plan to get rid of Luke. I think even talking about it later on, I think there was a point where I walked into a one of those rings of fire, as you call them, and the conversation just stopped.
Right.
And looking back, I'm like, oh, and then yeah, someone did tell me later on, like, oh yeah, we were talking about voting out Luke, but we couldn't tell you. I was like, oh, so that's why no one was saying anything. Mm-hmm. So I was all aboard to, I recognized that Sean's time was up, and Dave and Luke had been quite honest with me and said, look, Sean's obviously such a huge target. He's going to have to go at some point. And in my mind, I was trying to get rid of physical threats at this point. I was trying to, because I wanted to win that immunity necklace, and I couldn't see myself doing that when you have people like Sean and Dave and Simon and also Abby in the game. So I knew that Sean would have to go eventually. I knew that he was on the jury at this point, which I felt would be good for me. Obviously, it didn't quite work out like that. But mm-hmm. So I felt like that, yeah, I was really trying to keep the target off Sean for as long as I could. But at this point, it was just it wasn't going to happen anymore. Dave was dead set on going for Sean. And I recognized that I had to be pragmatic about it here. I ended up not voting for Sean. I voted for Daisy instead. Because Luke had told me that Daisy had called me wishy-washy at one point, and I wasn't too happy about that at the time. But then, again, rumors spread quickly, especially with these rings of fire. So I think that was true, but I haven't asked her about it explicitly, so maybe it wasn't.
Right, yeah. So this is another just like all on the contenders' vote. But the luck is going to change. So the champion is going to go home for the first – be voted out for the first time since ET, I think, is the stat, which is a little crazy.
It was a little while, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, you know – I spoke about this a bit in the podcast, and I, you know, getting a contender finally on the deep dive, we can hash this out. Was there ever a consideration to flip on the champions that were working with you, you know, to go to David and Luke and either get an idol to be played or put, you know, if your four contenders' numbers with Luke and David would have been enough? Like, you guys really were a bit of a swing vote there, but obviously it becomes a near unanimous vote on David. So was there much thought about that with the contenders?
Well, geez, the thing is, I look back on that afternoon, and it was a bit of a wild one as well, where there's a lot going on, especially trying to make this blindside happen without Dave or Luke finding out. The thing was, though, what I want to say, I wanted Dave out. Like, I had been working with Dave, but I recognized that he had a lot of power, both in the champions and within the tribe as a whole. He'd been working everyone. He was a physical threat. What else is there to say? He had obviously won an immunity necklace at that point, and there was, again, just for Sean, there was thoughts that he could win a lot of immunity necklaces, particularly at the Rings of Fire. He even was laughing about the fact at one point that he was sort of standing at a campfire on his own, and people would come up to him and speak to him like he was some sort of prophet, and then walk away again, and he would just sit there and meditate. So I think there was a recognition among quite a lot of people that he had a lot of power and that he needed to go. The thing about that vote was that it was actually, I think it was John that came to me and said, look, there's the numbers are available for Dave. We need to vote Dave. I'm like, oh, fantastic. Who is it? And he told me that Simon and Pia were both going to be voting for Dave, and then the four contenders would make six. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that sounds fantastic. And I did speak to Simon and Pia about it briefly, but I must have not asked them or maybe didn't pick up on it. So when we get to that vote and Abby and Janine have also voted for Dave, I'm shocked. I'm actually quite surprised. Because I thought that it was Simon and Pia potentially going out on their own and doing something, but maybe, yeah. I don't know if that was intentional on their part.
That would be brilliant.
It sounded like it wasn't. Maybe I just missed something. But yeah, so because looking back, it makes total sense. If I had known that there was going to be eight votes on Dave, then we should have gone for a 4-4-2 split.
Yeah.
Because then if we'd gone four votes, for example, let's say Janine, mm-hmm. then four votes on Janine, four votes on Dave. If Dave plays his idol, a champion still goes home. That's the play. But I didn't know that we had those votes available. I didn't know Abby and Janine were going to vote for Dave.
Yeah. And it's a very different situation. If Pia and Simon are going out on a limb, then the champions are much more fractured than what they ended up being, which, I mean, I want to ask you, like, how quickly did it go back to what we saw, which was very much champions versus contenders, even though you just worked together on this vote?
Yeah, well, obviously, I think it was just a shared recognition that Dave had to go. And obviously, once I realized that Abby and Janine were also in on the plan and that Luke was the only one who didn't know, it was like, okay, Dave's gone. And then Luke just sort of snapped back in with the champions. So he did play that extremely well, though. Like, I think the edit showed that the nighttime rice occurred after that vote, but it actually occurred before, because I remember it was the night after the Sean vote, because we got back to camp so late. Because obviously the tribal had been very late at night because of the whole Rings of Fire thing beforehand. And I remember getting back from that challenge sort of super late and not being able to sleep. And that's when me, Harry, and Luke did the nighttime rice thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember the next day I was falling asleep everywhere. It was so bad. I ended up making up a story that I burnt my hand in the middle of the night, which I did do during the nighttime rice anyway. Mm-hmm. But I ended up telling a few people that I burnt my hand tending to the fire, and because it was low tide, I couldn't end up like doing anything about it. So I just sort of lay there not sleeping for ages. So when I was essentially falling asleep the next day during the day, I had some sort of excuse. And I did have a bit of a burn on my hand to show for it. But I don't know how many people bought that.
Yeah. Well, your relationship with Luke is so tired. Like, you can't even be told of the Sean vote about it. And Luke just snaps back to the champions. Like, was there something you think you could have done to get him to the contenders? Because that would have been the majority.
Yeah, it would have been. And again, like, I think I tried to make the case to him, which was why I told him we were voting for Abby. And again, looking back, that was like, ooh, why did I do that? That was pretty silly. But I was really trying to get him to go, look, the four contenders are all on board. We can make a majority here. Obviously, he didn't have a bar of it, and he didn't tell me that they were going for John in the end, which is, I think, perhaps a bit of petty revenge on his side, or maybe some sort of vengeance. I don't know what he was thinking, but he obviously was playing the game that suited him best, not tell me that they were going for John in the end.
Yeah. I mean, why Abby and that vote?
So we got back from that challenge that, who won that immunity? Was it Luke who won that immunity?
I think it was Simon. That's the one where you stayed for a really long time, right? It was the planking one.
It was the planking one, of course. So we get back from that immunity. I go out to get some salt water for the rice or something. The five champs have sort of walked down the beach just a little ways, and the other three contenders are in camp, and I'm walking back from getting the salt water, and both of these groups are like signaling for me to come over. I'm like, what do I do? Which way do I go? So I think I go to the contenders first, and I say, look, like, I be quick, I gotta keep moving here. And they're obviously aware of that. And the four of us had a quick conversation about we said, look, all four of us have to stick together here. There's no point mucking around anymore. Who are we going for? And it was a bit of back and forth about who we should go for. And I think it just got to the point where John said, I think it's got to be Luke or Abby. And I just said Abby. Because, again, I was trying to – Luke was my window into the champions. Mm-hmm. I couldn't lose him at this point.
Yeah.
So I think that was why we ended up settling on Abby. I don't know what the rationale was beyond that, but we all agreed on a name and stuck to it and didn't – in case we didn't get the chance to chat again that day. I was on board for Abby because, in my mind, again, it was challenge threats. So in my mind – I was probably happy to go for Simon or Abby. I think Abby had the additional advantage of breaking up the three champion females, so that probably played into my mind a little bit as well. But again, you want something that everyone's happy with, and everyone was happy to vote for Abby, so that's what we ended up going with. I went down to see the five champions, and they're trying to figure out what I'm thinking, and I said, look, like, if we want to work together here, then we're six, they're three. We can split the vote three each way, three on Daisy, three on Harry, and it'll be a 3-3-3, and we can guarantee it, one of them goes home. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, that sounds okay. Yeah, who do you want to go for? I'm like, oh, I can vote for Daisy. That's all good. And then sort of left it at that. But I sort of – it felt very fake, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, because they don't end up splitting the vote.
No, not at all, because they didn't trust me, which is probably fair because I was voting Abby regardless.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who the whole time has been like, just survive and be the last contender, like, why was it now that you were, like, contender strong?
I think it was just a recognition that we needed to level the score at this point. Like, I think all of us could see there was it didn't suit us to be the perhaps it suited me to be the last contender standing, but we were all trying to work together in some one form or another. There was no reason for us to split up at that point, so I guess it was just a, shared last-ditch effort, especially when the game of Idle Roulette came about. It was a chance to level the score by working together.
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk about what you tell Lucia. From what we see, you are kind of telling him, you know, where the vote, where the idol might be played, which allows them to kind of information to
yeah,
the vote on
this,
John.
This is the one thing where I look back and I'm like, oh, that was probably a mistake. Because again, I'd obviously, me and Luke had been working together, but I hadn't told him about the Day of Blind side.
Mm.
I actually did have a chat to him just before that tribal, thinking back, and I was like, oh, Luke, you know, he came and told me the plan had changed from Daisy to Harry. I'm like, oh yeah, Luke, that sounds cool. Just know that, like, you know, whatever happens tonight, like, I'm okay by the sounds of it, and you've got the necklace, so you're okay, so we're all cool, right? Mm-hmm. And So later on I could say, look, I tried to hint it to you, Luke, but you didn't figure it out, so I couldn't say anything, obviously. And he was really good about it in a way, because he referenced Michelle from his season, where she was left out of a vote and then came back with a vengeance, whereas he didn't want to do that. He wanted to just move on from it.
Right. But you think that because you'd had this really good working relationship, but then it left him out of a vote, maybe you underestimated that kind of fracture.
Yeah, I'd left him out, and I was trying to just make sure that we were all still good. And I think I just said a bit too much. In my mind, I thought that John was in a similar position to myself, where he had had enough inroads with the champions that they wouldn't want to vote for him at that point.
Right.
But clearly, and I think he did have better inroads, or maybe not. It's hard to know. It's sort of something you have to ask the champions as a collective in a way.
Well, I already spoke to all of them.
Yeah, I mean, you spoke to a bunch of them, but at that moment I felt like John, they wouldn't vote for John. So, and I knew that Luke was, or I'd hoped that Luke was trying to keep me around, so I didn't feel like I was revealing anything by saying it was a slip between Harry and Daisy, especially given that conversation where we talked about splitting the vote 3-3 Harry-Daisy. So at the time I didn't feel like I was giving anything away, but watching it back I'm like, oh yeah, I probably did say too much there.
Yeah. I mean, again, not really a question for you, but do you, looking back, think that you put yourself at risk, or do you think that your inroads were so good? Because, I mean, if they're not putting it on Daisy and Harry, there's only one more. There's only two more options.
Yeah, there's only two choices, isn't there?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it probably was riskier than I realized. I just felt like that while I was – I mean, I was playing into a more subservient role while I was being useful to Luke, so why would he want to vote me out? I was passing on this intel in a way, so I guess I was just – trying to make sure that people were targeting other people instead of me, and that my way of doing that was telling people things. Whether it worked or not is another story, but I couldn't see a scenario where Luke would want to push for me to go out at that point, and I felt like he had enough sway within the five champions to make sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, how are you feeling though at this point? Because look, if you want to be the last contender standing, that's going pretty well, but in terms of like maintaining numbers, that's not going so great.
Yeah, obviously, again, I think at this point I had settled into the fact that there was going to be a point where potentially only one or two contenders were left, and then there's a chance the champions open up. There's also a chance they just lock ranks and go to Final Five together. So that was definitely playing on my mind, but I really did feel like that eventually they would crack, and I just needed to be the most useful contender out there until that happened. So, yeah, that was what I was thinking at the time.
Okay, well, the crack is about to come because, you know, the spa reward people go to their spa reward, and the real party is happening back at camp with you, Abby, Luke, and Harry, who end up being the four that come together for, like, the major flips, you know, through the rest of the game. So how does this four come together to make the new majority?
I think, yeah, it was just a shared discussion. Obviously, when the four and four did come about, I'm like, oh, this is somewhat fortuitous. We actually have a bit of a shot here. Because I knew I was obviously tight with Harry and Luke, and then Abby coming on board would be really good for us. So I felt like there was a chance. Additionally, just before the John vote, actually, I was chatting to Pia, and I think she mentioned this in her deep dive, where me and her had a chat, and I probably said too much that I was like, oh, you know, like, again, I was probably trying to convince her to get on board, maybe to try and vote for Abby at that point. And I was like, look, this is the way it's going. I was also trying to make sure that she wouldn't be burned forever, because some people might be like that, where they're like, oh, you haven't voted with me, I can't work with you anymore. So I was just trying to be like, look, this is what could happen. Obviously, I don't know what's going to happen with this art roulette thing, but whatever happens, I hope we can work together beyond this. Like, yeah, that's all good. You know, like, I was talking to Janine, and we were thinking about voting out Abby soon anyway. So if it happens a bit earlier, then that's all cool with me, and that's all good. So I definitely let Abby know that while the others were on the Spar Award, that Pia had mentioned potentially voting her out early. So that was played into it somewhat. But I think the real thing was when Luke pulled her aside and made up this lie about Janine and Pia taking him to Final Three, that I think that was the big thing. So while I did my bit, I feel like, yeah, it was Luke that really made it happen.
Yeah, but you also had the correct read on a situation where you were like, okay, once I'm the last couple of contenders, that'll be a good spot and I can achieve that. And that plan literally came to fruition.
Yeah, so obviously after that happened, I think it was the next morning when we sort of realized that the change had occurred, and then we all agreed that we'll vote Daisy out because that's the status quo, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that was an easy vote because she wasn't there. And then the four of us will be the majority and we'll take out Janine. That was the plan that we made before the others got back from the Spa Award.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of trust in that? Because if they're not doing that, then you're just voting out another contender.
Yeah, but at the same time, I didn't have many other options. I mean, we were down 3-5 on the original tribal line. So I trusted Harry, I trusted Luke, and I started to work with Abby. And I even apologized. I said, look, I'm sorry that we voted for you. It's just how it worked out. Again, I told her the little spiel about how it ended up going. And I said, look, hopefully it doesn't mar our relationship and we can work together. And she's like, yeah, it's all good. It's all part of the game. So I think we patched up things enough that I had to hope that it would work. And we definitely put in her mind again that P and Janine wanted her gone. P and Janine wanted to take Luke to the final three. So I thought we had given her enough logical reasons to make the move at the time that she did.
Mm. Well, she does, which is great. But before
yeah,
that...
Yeah, which is fantastic because the exile twist almost throws a spanner in the works completely.
Does it? Like, is that something that affects that?
Well, it does because obviously the Daisy vote ends up being unchanged because we're sort of told like towards the end of the tribal sort of Q&A part. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that happened was Jonathan sort of went down the line and asked people, okay, so the person who's voted out is going to exile. Does that change your vote? And I think three or four people said no. And then he asked me, and I said, oh, well, sounds like no one else is. So I guess it doesn't. So mm-hmm. in that vote, it didn't really change anything. It was still Daisy. It wasn't ideal, but
well, what would have been more ideal at that point then?
Well, we had this multi-plan tribal in place, and any sort of upset to it was not going to go well. But I guess
best laid plans.
But if it was going to be exile, then anyone but me, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially given the weather, which a few people have talked about, it was bad. Like, you do get bad weather on occasion. We had a few sort of bits of rain. I think there was that one challenge where it rained a fair bit, but this was something else. And we were all feeling for Daisy in that moment because it would have been absolutely brutal.
Yeah, but you do have this plan. And as you said, you thought it was going to be Janine next, but there's so many things happening at what should have been surely a conservative vote where you're not even voting someone out, but, you know...
Through exile. Yeah, exactly right. And I think that's what it was. I think Abby said to us that she's like, look, we can't, if we're getting rid of Janine, it has to be a clean cut. We can't have her coming back angry because that would just ruin everything. So she decided that she didn't want to go for Janine anymore at that point, but we still wanted to make this four work. So the compromise we came to was to go for Simon instead. I think potentially at one point, Abby might have gotten wind that Simon was going for her at that point mm-hmm. as well. So maybe that fed into it in some part, but the logic, again, I think the agreement what we came to was that we send Simon to exile, but then Janine still goes, is the next person eliminated.
Right. Even if he comes back, you vote Janine out again.
Yeah. So that was what I felt like was happening going into that tribal. But again, it was tough because Harry was pretty insistent. It has to be Janine. And Abby's like, no, I can't do Janine. It's got to be Simon. I think at one point Luke was even trying to go for Pia, but that might've been later on. So there was a bit of divergence, and this four we had made, this anti-Spa alliance or whatever we want to call it, mm-hmm. Was threatening to sort of crack apart. So I put the compromise in there of Simon to exile and then Janine out, and that seemed to satisfy both Harry and Abby and then Luke as well. So
yeah, I mean, but we didn't get to see it on the show, but you and Harry and Luke are kind of swing votes at this point, right? Like Simon wants to vote out Abby.
Yes.
Tried to bring you into that, and then
yeah,
Abby and Luke are flipping.
Yeah, the thing was, like, I'd been trying to push Simon for quite a while. I think all of the contenders have. We all knew that he was the champion on the outs, that he almost went if it wasn't for swap. He almost went if it wasn't for merge. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to go, Simon, look, mate, you're on the bottom. Like, why don't you do something about this while the numbers are still there? It's like, nah, not yet. Come back tomorrow. I'm like, okay, thanks, Simon. It's like, we need you to make a move now, mate, but he wasn't ready to make a move, and we tried to push him, but he wasn't willing. So it was almost a shame in a way when he finally did come to us and say, look, I'm ready to make a move. We already had this plan in place with Abby. So it's actually a smart move. From his perspective, it's the right thing to do. Like, the final seven is probably the right time to make that sort of move. perhaps not at the exile vote, the fake seven, but at the real seven, it's definitely the right move to make.
Yeah.
But he wasn't to know that we'd already made this plan at, during the Spar Award.
Yeah, we didn't have the conversation early enough.
The three of us had the conversation. Like, I think, because Simon came to me and he said he was looking to break up the girls. And I said, great. And I let him say, like, which of the three you wanted to go for. And he said, I'd prefer to go for Abby. I'm like, okay, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Simon putting Abby's name out there as the one he wanted to go for. And we had the conversation, like, you know, Abby's the physical threat, Janine's the strategic threat, Pierre's the social threat. But so then myself, Harry and Luke had a chat after Simon had made that pitch. And we said, well, look, we have a choice of two here. And I think Harry and Luke were just like, nah, stick with Abby and vote Simon out. I'm like, okay, I possibly in retrospect maybe should have pushed it a different result. But again, like when you're not certain about anything, and in hindsight, it looks like everything's certain, but you never know for sure when you're out there. And we had this plan in place where the first phase has already been followed through, like the trust was already there.
Right.
So I think, yeah, the three of us agreed to stick with Abby and vote Simon off to exile.
Why are you saying you should have done something different because Simon was maybe beatable at the end?
Potentially. And in my mind, he played a good social game to get to that point. Like, you don't get there by accident. But at the same time, I feel like I could have had a good pitch against Simon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never know for certain if it would have been enough. But looking back at everyone who was left at Merge, I feel like Simon was a good chance for me to go up against. Maybe not the bear. Oh, it's hard to know. But I definitely feel like I would have had a good fight against Simon in the final two if I'd managed to get him to that point. At the same time, I was still in my mind. Challenge threats are still a big thing in the game, and it doesn't really come up in the show as much. But I was still thinking, like, I can't beat Simon at a final three challenge, and I want to have that power at that point. So if I can't beat Simon at final three, I'm relying on him to take me. And he might not have done that given the relationship that we ended up having.
Yeah, and you have gone from a point of, you know, having no power and being like, having, you know, some power, but in terms of the numbers, being a contender who are getting picked off, to being the swing vote between two different champions who have all turned on each other. So, like, you're making the best decisions you can with a lot more power you've been given in a very quick amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of went from nothing to, oh, we have two big options right here. What do we do? So, and I guess the other thing was, like, we obviously had been pushing Simon quite a while and he wasn't keen. Maybe that contributed a little bit. It's hard to say without really going into detail, but the three of us had the chat and we decided to stick with Abby. So that's what we ended up doing.
Yeah. But your name is going to come up like in a few tribals from now on. You're targeted here as like a challenge beast by the champions to go beat Daisy on Exile.
It was the fake seven vote. This was the vote where Janine and Pia vote for me.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing I was very surprised watching it back that Janine said that. I don't know. It doesn't sound true to me. Like, I don't know. It's probably Jonathan saying it too much.
Well, they said that, you know, you win the final endurance challenge and they might have thought it was endurance. So it makes sense.
Yeah, potentially. But it's hard to know what I thought I'd done enough, especially post-merge. I'd had one challenge where I did okay and the rest I was sort of like one of the first few out. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised to hear that in the edit. But again, from what Janine said in her deep dives, it sounded like she had a better relationship with Harry than with me. So, and she was determined to send two contenders to exile. So it makes sense that she would want to push me to be the one.
Right.
She also, I think in a couple of her things, she said that, what were her words? That there's people who know when to not say something. And I'm definitely not one of those.
Neither, Baden.
And maybe that probably may not have led into her decision as well.
Yeah, so you do vote out, you know, Simon here, and then you go to the Exile Challenge. Who did you want to come back from Exile Island?
It was the weird thing where I could have gone either way. Like, I felt like if Simon came back, there was always the easy option of just sending him straight out again. And while the four of us had agreed that Janine, or in my mind, had agreed that we would send Janine back no matter what, there was always that sort of backup where if Simon came back, it seemed like it would be an easy in and out if it needed to come to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like Daisy coming back would upset the apple cart a little bit in terms of the four that we had made. I think I think Abby and Luke weren't as keen to have Daisy be a part of that if she came back. I think we discussed both options. Like, we had time to go, okay, like, if Simon comes back, what do we do? If Daisy comes back, what do we do? And I remember Luke and Abby not being as keen for Daisy to be a part of that four if she came back. So in my mind, the it could have potentially upset that, because then suddenly we're back to three contenders. Maybe the champions don't feel as confident to get rid of another champion at that point if there's three, because then it goes back to three champions, three contenders.
Yeah, that would have given the contenders almost too much power. Maybe they would have been too threatening.
Exactly, so I feel like if Daisy came back, it would have given Luke and Abby cold feet, and they might not have followed through to on voting out Janine.
Yeah.
So in my mind, for that reason, I think I was actually going for Simon in that challenge, in the duel.
Yeah. So you had wanted to vote Janine out even if Simon came back, but Simon's the one who ends up going out again. So how does that happen?
Oh, geez. Again, I think just in my mind, if you're coming out from exile, what I would have done is I would have really worked on rebuilding these social connections and trying to figure out what went wrong and what he could do better to reassert himself as in the majority on the tribe. But he sort of went and dug holes for hours and hours. So I was almost a bit miffed by that. And it's like, what? You should be trying to work with us. I can understand he would feel a bit burned by myself and Harry and Luke, because we had said we were going to vote with him and then we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, it's just like, oh, it's not what I would have done. And it just felt like a consensus sort of came over the tribes, like all the digging, looking around for idols that we all knew weren't there. Because obviously I had asked both Luke and Harry about their idols after they'd found them, at potentially trying to get ideas of where they end up so I could try and find one myself, which didn't end up happening. But so obviously I knew that Harry had found his idol inside the shelter, and I knew that Luke had found his idol buried underground. So, but maybe Simon didn't know that. I'm not quite sure, but he definitely went for it, digging holes for hours. But I just felt like that because we had burned Simon in that regard, I literally couldn't work with him at that point. And so when push came to shove, I was like, yeah, I guess Simon is just the obvious choice. He gets us all to final six.
Yeah. So you have made use of this four, which is great. But you're going to go to Janine at this point to try to take out Luke, you know, someone you've worked with for so long. Was this genuine, and why now?
Well, again, the edit made it look like I was doing Harry's dirty work, was the word that he used. I think I even had a little segment there. I was trying to do sign language, like, Harry, come on, we should talk to Janine while we got a minute. And he's just like, no, you should go talk to her. So I ended up talking to her on my own. I think there was definitely a recognition that Luke was insanely powerful. And it was at this point where I really started thinking about the end. Like, I had been thinking about sort of the end a bit, but I remember getting to final six after Simon's been voted out unanimously. I'm like, oh boy, it's an uphill battle for everyone else that's left in the game for me to make it to beat one of them in a final tribal. And that was quite a sober realization on my part. It's like, oh, I'm in a bit of trouble. I need to do something or find something. And I guess I saw moving against Luke as a move of some sort to go, right, this is me taking control. I'm not living in anyone else's shadow. I'm going to take control of this game from now to the end. And I saw getting rid of Luke as a way to do that. Whether I would have followed through on it, it's hard to say. It depends what Harry was thinking as well. He might have wanted to stay with Luke and Abby for another vote. I think looking back, it's actually somewhat similar to the Tara and Lockie relationship, I guess, in a way, where Tara decided that she had to get rid of Lockie to assert herself. And I guess there is a few similarities there.
Yeah, I wouldn't really compare you that much to Tara, I guess, other than being losing finalists. But I see what you're saying. It's like you and Luke had this relationship, and if you take him out, you can kind of claim that because you were close to him. And if you show the initiative, that's something to really hang your hat on.
Yes, and that's something I would have. Obviously, the way that he kept winning immunities, like, yeah. That was something that no one really expected, I think. There was a lot more obvious stereotypical challenge threats in the game, especially at the merge point, that I didn't see Luke going on an immunity run. So the fact that it happened sort of put a spanner in those plans.
Yeah.
But I feel like if Luke hadn't won immunity, I think I would have tried to go for him at final six.
Yeah, I mean, he does win immunity. So you're targeted again here by the, you know, champion women, or by Janine and Pia. And then Luke and Abby kind of become a swing vote. Did you have a lot of faith that they would stick with your four?
Yes, because again, the plan we'd made for so long was to take out Janine, and this is sort of coming on from the Spar Award until now. That's quite a while that we've been saying it's got to be Janine. Janine's got to go. Janine's got the power. Janine's the godmother. So I think I felt that there was the goodwill there that we would just follow through on that plan and take out Janine. Having said that, I was trying to work to the position where myself and Harry were the swing votes, not Luke and Abby. So I think that's why I went to them and probably said a bit too much, but I really wanted to try and soak up those divisions and really make sure the champions were split into pieces. So I definitely was spreading around information again, which again, I guess it works, but maybe it makes it look like a bit of a tattletale in retrospect.
I mean, I think it makes it like you were the swing votes at a time, I think. And then when Luke won immunity, he grabbed power back and then they became the swing votes. But I think if he hadn't won immunity, then you are the swing votes then.
Yeah, potentially. It depends what, if Janine and Pierre really did want to connect up again, then maybe that wouldn't have been that maybe wouldn't have been the case.
I guess they were the swing votes. This was a very confusing final six vote.
Yeah, it was three pairs, which is kind of tough to wrap your head around. And again, I guess I didn't really see Luke and Abby as like a super strong pair at that point. I definitely saw Pierre and Janine as a pair, and I saw myself and Harry as like the last contenders and therefore a pair. But in my mind, Luke and Abby were sort of the other two in a way. I didn't see them being super duper tight in the way that they ended up being. So when I said to Abby, look, I've told Janine and Pierre to vote for Luke. The emphasis was on told, not I am going to, mm-hmm. but she obviously either figured out that I was doing what I was saying, or decided just to run with it anyway and told Luke that I was gunning for him.
Yeah. I mean, how has your relationship with Harry evolved to the point where you're the last two contenders, but at this point, like, you're a pair and you know, the fake child, and then you gave him his final meal before the merge, and then he somehow survived it, and now you're a pair together.
It's so weird. It's just the circumstances we ended up in. Like, I did not expect me and him to be the last two contenders standing, but that's how this game works. And he's the cockroach. He dodged the vote enough times, and I managed to keep myself out of trouble long enough that we sort of ended up having to work together. And I did get to know Harry really well at this point. I think post-merge, he did change how he played, and that might have contributed to why he managed to keep his head down for a bit longer. Because obviously he came in like, oh, I'm going to lie about having a kid and I'm going to cause chaos and I'll make everyone turn on each other.
Mm-hmm.
But post-merge, he said to me, look, like, obviously it hasn't worked for me. I'm just going to play honesty. And he did sort of play a bit differently. He was a lot more cooperative, I guess, in that way. And we did end up being the last two contenders and were sort of bonded by trauma or forced together or whatever you want to call it. But we did end up getting along really well by that point.
Yeah. So at this point, you know, final six, final five-ish, and you're talking about, you know, having an uphill battle with the final tribal council, who are you looking to sit next to and who did you think that you could beat?
Pia. So I looked at everyone in the game and I thought that Pia was my best shot because she had just been blindsided at final seven, which is really not the time to be blindsided. She was about to lose her closest ally in Janine. The next vote ends up being literally saved by Luke. So I just thought that her end game was not so good, and I thought that I could pitch that to the jury, that she had lost control of the game and has only made it to the final two by chance, or not by chance so much as me actively trying to take her. So I looked – everyone's game looked really good. Luke obviously played the most amazing game, and there was no way in hell I was going to beat him. Janine was the godmother. She had the reputation, and sometimes that almost matters more than what actually happened. And she was a strategic mastermind. Everyone saw her as the leader, so I knew I would have a real trouble to beat her. Harry was the cockroach. He'd played two idols perfectly pre-merge. We'd actually worked together quite a lot post-merge, so I couldn't see how I could own that, any of that stuff, because we'd sort of done it together. Abby's game I actually really did respect because she was always in the majority until she got voted out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was the swing vote that ended this 47. She's the swing vote that ended the champion strong post-merge. Like, I really respected her game and was even still worrying about physical threats at that point and didn't know if she would take me at the final immunity challenge if she won it. So, and again, Pia, I knew she played a good social game, and a few people had said to me that she was the brains and Janine was the face of the alliance, but I still figured that it was the jury's perception that mattered, and I felt that I had the best shot against her. So from that point on, I actively tried to work with her and make sure that the two of us made it to the end.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me want to talk about this final five, because from what we saw, you and Abby and Harry make a three, Luke wins immunity and Pia is going to go if there's no shenanigans, which there are, you know, endless shenanigans.
So many shenanigans.
Yeah, couldn't have been more shenanigans. But if there were no shenanigans, like, would Pia not have been going home right now?
Oh, the thing was, I think I actually had a chat to Luke late in the day where I said, look, I've got three people I can vote for. Luke obviously has immunity. They're Harry, Abby, and Pia. And I ranked them in that order of who I wanted to vote out, who I wanted gone. So if I'd had my way, Harry would have been the one that would have gone at Final Five because I saw his game as the strongest out of those three. And I wanted to end up at the point where I had the best chance of being against the game that I could beat in the final two. So right. had I had my way, Harry would have gone at Final Five, but I felt like there was an idol of some sort floating around in the game. Obviously it was Luke's advantage, but I just felt that if anyone had an idol, it was Harry. And if he had it, he would definitely play it at that Final Five vote.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm like, okay, we can't go for Harry at this vote just because it could end up blowing up in our faces. But I definitely felt like Abby and Pia didn't have advantages or idols. And I was, again, trying to keep Pia in the game. So I was trying to go for Abby.
Right. So, I mean, there was a lot of, like, not criticism, but discussion around Luke sending you back to camp rather than Pia, because everyone assumes you would have voted with Harry. You would have been in a lot of power there if he'd kept you in the game. So have you, I mean, in the tribal council, so have you given much thought to what you would have done? Ostensibly, like, Luke would have been voting for Abby. Harry would have been voting for Abby. So you could have voted with Abby against Harry and sent them to fire, or you could have just voted out Abby.
Yeah, it's so tricky. There's so many different scenarios that could have played out at that vote. Like, especially given the challenge, could have literally have gone to anyone at that point. Like, if the dominoes and the foot trap, I still look back on that and go, one more step and I could have done it maybe. Mm-hmm.
Although Luke said it was rocks, so maybe not fire. I don't know, you would have been rocked out.
I never got to find out what happened, whether it was rocks or fire. In that case, where it's a fake four, I guess. I just went back to camp and made rice. So if me or Abby had won immunity and then we'd gone to the final five, Luke plays the advantage on himself and sends himself out of camp.
Okay.
I probably would have then tried to go for Harry regardless because, again, I saw his game as the strongest. I figured there wouldn't be an idol and an advantage in play. So Harry would have become my prime target. Whether the numbers would have gone in to make that happen, I don't know, but it would have been a scramble tribal for sure. If Luke sends Pia home, again, I recognize that there's no advantages or idols left, or I believe there isn't. So, again, I'd probably try and go for Harry unless Luke is just adamant that it's got to be Abby.
Right. Yeah, unless it is rocks and not fire, in which case I think you would have been, you know, auto-rocked out.
I feel like that's a really dumb way for it to go. Being auto-rocked out, I don't know how that works. It could have been a three-way rocks. It could have been fire. Again, I don't know what would have happened if it had been a tie in that case.
Yeah. I guess we'll never get full confirmation on that. So I need to have even more interviews with production and get
I don't know if they were even expecting that, the Survivor Gods. Like, maybe they weren't expecting that advantage to last that long. Who knows? But
yeah, let's be honest. Like, it wasn't rocks or fire. Production is probably like shrug. Like, I don't know. Like, we'll never know. Do we need to know?
I feel like it should have been fire. That would have been the fairest way to do it. But I could see a three-way rocks. I couldn't see auto rocks. That would just be foolish.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before. Wouldn't be a great way to go. You're
showing more knowledge of American Survivor than I do then.
It didn't. Someone wasn't auto-rocked out, but they nearly were. But it was a possibility, so.
Okay, wow, okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
This advantage completely threw me. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting it to be. I thought Luke would use it on here in that moment. But clearly he had other plans in mind. And I think you alluded to it just before, but you're right, that I sort of lose a lot of agency by not being in the room for that vote. Like, again, I'm trying to assert myself in the pointy end of the game here. Mm-hmm. I end up not getting my scalp on Luke and we end up going for Janine, which still is a scalp, but it's a shared one amongst a bunch of people. And then I sort of lose all agency at the final five vote. And then once you get down to four, it's sort of hard to say that I made a move. And it sort of just becomes, I did this because I had no other options. So I do look back and I'm like, I really wanted to do something there. I was thinking about trying to convince Luke to change from Pia to Abby in tribal, because he had told me, like, at one point I felt like I was a swing vote in that final five, where Harry and Abby were voting for Pia, and Luke and Pierre were voting for Abby, and I was in the middle. And I thought, this is great, that both sides think that I'm going to vote with them. And then hopefully I get to choose and decide who goes home. And that would have been a good feather in my cap, I guess, to put myself in that position intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
But then later in the day, Luke goes, nah, I've changed my mind. It's got to be Pia. And I'm like, but you said this and then this and that. And then we need to keep Abby sort of go. She's a physical thing. He's like, nah, it's Pia. And so I was going to try and convince him back onto Abby in that tribal. But then, of course, I never got the chance.
Yeah. And did that resonate with you at the time that, you know, you had lost some agency there by going back to camp?
Yeah, definitely. I think I even said that when I got back. I said that when I got back to camp. I was like, yeah, like, obviously it's cool that I'm automatically in the final four. That's fantastic. Like, really good. But I wasn't in trouble anyway. And I'd lose the chance to, again, be a part of that vote and make a stand and try and do something. And, yeah, maybe Luke felt that. Luke probably did read it correctly. There's no guarantee I would have voted with him if I did stay around and he did send Pia back.
Yeah.
But obviously I'm doing anything I can to keep it off myself, and if I do get auto-rocked, then that would be awful. Mm-hmm. So if Luke's Adam and he's going to vote for Abby, then I probably do have to vote Abby.
Well, you could have, you know, just gone with the unanimous vote and you would have been auto-rocked, but in my deep dive with Luke, he did, you know, kind of entertain the thought of auto-rocking someone else out of the game just for funsies. Like, if he just disagrees with the majority. It wouldn't have been you. He was thinking more of, I think, Harry. But, you know, maybe, you never know with Luke. Would he have just been like, I can do this just because I can? Possibility.
Yeah, Luke was in the position where he beats anyone. So, honestly, he probably didn't matter if I'd gone at Final Five for him. And that would have been, it would have been unique. I could have said, would I have been the very first to be auto-rocked?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That would have been a cool,
it's not what you want.
Listen to me.
You don't want that. You want to be that the reason you remember.
It would have been a weird little factoid or something. And I would have tied with Matt Tarrant, which would have made our Twitter wars much more fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, you want to beat him. That's what it is.
Exactly right. Yeah.
All right. Well, we spoke about it a bit in the X interview, kind of spoke about a lot of this end game stuff when I spoke to you the day after the mm-hmm. season ended. But, you know, you do kind of shut down Luke at this point. You know, your long-term ally, you have been gunning for, but I think you were just a bit more pragmatic. As emotional as it was for you, it was just like it seemed pretty clear from you to Luke, and he knew that you weren't going to go with this vote.
Oh, God, yeah, this was tough, because that morning we obviously had the little quiz thing at camp, and me and Luke got the burgers together, and that was really nice. We sat there going, look at us, you know, who would have thought we'd be here? Final mm-hmm. two, here we go. And then we did little cheers with our burgers, and I think at the end we had, like, the burgers came with this plate, and I wrote the word Stars Alliance on the plate in sauce, and Luke with some little stars and mustard. And it's a shame that they never included that name, because I think maybe we were, I don't know. But we had used this name sort of in our conversations for 30 days, but it just never came up in the edit.
Mm.
But I had written that on the sort of platter we got our food on that day, and it would have been a nice little thing, but I guess not.
Yeah. And there's so much time.
But that was again, like, that morning we're sitting there cheersing our burgers, and then that night I vote him out. So, yeah, it's just obviously Abby had hinted to him in the past that I'd thrown his name out, so maybe he felt it was coming already. I honestly felt like I felt like that his best shot was with me. I really 100% thought Pia was always going to vote for Luke. Obviously, in her interviews, it has turned out that she was a lot more on the fence than I realized. Maybe if I'd known that, I would have played it differently. But I after 30 days, I didn't want to lie to him. Like, I'm like, Luke, not in these words, but I essentially said, like, this is inevitable. You've played an amazing game, but, like, I have to think about my own game. I didn't straight up say I'm voting for you, but I said, look, I haven't made my mind up, and I don't think we'll make my mind up until tribal.
Yeah, which is like a death sentence, really.
It is a bit, and I look back, I'm like, oh, maybe I should have just lied to him, but that's just part of his charm. I couldn't lie to him. Like, maybe I should have just said, oh, yeah, Luke, well, don't worry about it. We'll send Peter to fire. It'll be great. You'll be final three with me. But I think he knew, and I knew, and we all knew that this is what was going to happen. It did suck. And, yeah, in retrospect, maybe I should have just played it up and just lied straight to his face. But, yeah, what else is there to say about that vote, though? I suppose the one thing that I told myself coming in that I wasn't going to let my emotions get the best of me. And I think a lot of people in the game had teared up for various points and various reasons, but I'd actually never shed a tear about anything until that point. I think I almost did when we got the letters from home, but that was sort of the first time where I actually cried. And it took 47 games, and I was determined this game wouldn't break me, but it did in the end. So that was, again, like the toughest vote out for sure. I mean, I said before that Sarah's vote was tough for me as well, but this one was just insane.
Yeah, it was tough for all of us, Ben.
Absolutely, and I listen, and I'm watching your podcast and all the prayer circles, and how, and I'm like, oh, I know what's coming, and it's gonna suck.
Yeah, it sucks so much, but like, I also never had that much hope, because maybe I'm a pessimist, but I was like, it's gonna happen. Like, they're gonna take him out the second he loses. Definitely, like, as soon as he lost immunity, everyone was like, maybe they'll, I'm like, why? Who? No one's doing that.
It was not happening. And the fact that Pierre was entertaining it just shows how good he is socially. Like, that, it's just absolutely insane. He's literally the most amazing player, and I'm so glad I got to see his game firsthand, because he is just so good.
Yeah. We all agree. We love Luke on this podcast, but you did the right thing. You did what you needed to do.
And yeah, and it sucks that, again, I suppose, segueing into the sort of the reception of that, like, all three of us made that decision. It's just the edits seem to highlight Pierre as the one who made the choice.
Mm.
And it sucks that, yeah, Pierre got a lot more attention for that than me or Harry did.
Did you get any attention? Did anyone say?
Not really.
No, one person.
I haven't had a lot in, I mean, Pierre has a lot more of a following as well than me or Harry. So I guess that helps too, in terms of, she has a lot more exposure, but I got a lot more people saying I should have taken Harry to the end than people saying that I was bad for voting out Luke, so.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the people that were coming onto Pia's Instagram and slamming her were, like, necessarily, like, her followers and fans, so I don't know if it's an exposure thing. It might have been an edit thing, it might be a bit of a gender thing.
Oh, yeah, that would be a shame, but I think the edit definitely, yeah, she was seen as the swing vote. And looking back, I could have absolved my conscience and voted for Pierre that night, and Luke still would have gone home, but
yeah,
I wasn't going to risk it. There's no way.
No, Boston Rob would say, yeah, you'd be a little man. You can't. You got to make the vote. You got to, if you,
exactly,
you got to
right.
vote, you got to
yeah.
vote. Yeah.
And it was the right play. There was no way any of us were beating Luke, and I think a lot of the jury have said that. So
yeah,
it was the right play. We had to take him out when we could. I don't know how he would have gone on that final immunity challenge, but... He has the one thing I will say about Luke, he always gives everything he's got. Like, I'm always impressed with how he does in challenges. Mm-hmm. And he would have been up there till the very end if he had to.
Yeah. Well, you make the right choice. You go to the final three. Your family comes out. I got to say that the reaction my entirely South African family had to hearing your dad's South African accent, everyone was like, rewind it. We need to hear it again. We love that.
Yeah, no, so Dad's obviously grew up in South Africa and has a Durban accent that's sort of become Australianized over the years, but it's still definitely
pretty
there.
South African.
So that must have been cool for you, especially having South African family.
Yeah, there was like 10 of us in the room all just like, okay, go back, just make sure. That, then they're like, ask Baden, right? I'm like, Baden has things going on. I'm not just going to message him right now.
I'm a little busy that day, actually.
Yeah, like, Baden's about to go to Final Tribal Council. Like, he's kind of got a lot going on right now. But you know, you see your family. What was that experience like, getting them out there on the island?
Oh, that was surreal, because it was just, because we hadn't talked to home for so long, I didn't know what they were thinking. Like, I knew around the time that all happened, it was coming into uni exams for my brother, and I knew that there was no way he'd be able to get out of that. And at the same time, mum and dad have been working up in the Kimberley for the dry season for the past few years, and last time they took leave sort of in peak season, they needed a year's notice. Whoa. So I didn't know how they'd be able to do it with a week's notice. So in my mind, I was mentally preparing myself, it might just be my auntie, it might just be an extended family. So when all three of them walked up the hill, I was just so happy and relieved and excited to see them and to be able to tell them everything.
Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't miss the final three.
I actually didn't tell them everything, so I didn't want to spoil the show for them. So I ended up being like, this sort of happened, but I don't want to say too much. But it was just such a relief to see them.
I mean, they were coming into the final three. They end up watching the vote result. Like, I feel like they were pretty spoiled at that point.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. Especially because mum, like I said, hasn't really watched the show much before. So she didn't quite follow what was going on at some points. But she, especially watching it back, she really appreciates now how much winning that immunity necklace means at that point.
Yeah, she must have been like, what is this show? Why are you torturing my son? What is this torture challenge?
And yeah, I think they were also sitting, on the benches, obviously watching us the whole time, which must have been pretty, not so thrilling for them. I think my brother complained he got a sore bottom watching me. I'm all like, you can't talk.
Yeah, they're really suffering watching you up there.
Oh, so, so much. And I suppose the other thing is that it was kind of cold. Like, again, it was nighttime, and we're on a hilltop, so it was quite windy, and it did drizzle at one point. So I think both my parents got a cold the next few days, which wasn't ideal either. But yeah, that was such a wild challenge, though.
If my brother or someone was doing that challenge and I was cold, I would definitely be loudly complaining about it from the bench. Like, I totally.
Well,
get
that's
it.
The thing. I think they're thinking, "Oh, Fiji, summery. We'll come in our like our summer dress or whatever." But no, they need like a rain jacket or something.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, so you won this immunity. We talked in the exit about how you could have gone for like a little while longer, and it was a really good, narratively, like a satisfying end to like beta and the challenge beast and this whole thing from the pre-merge and like the growth.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Win.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, because coming from the beginning where I really struggled, and then I had a few little breakthroughs, and then sort of coming into merge, I had a few good challenges in a row, and Jonathan's called me a challenge beast. And, then post-merge, I didn't really have many. I had a few where I was close, but there was a good stretch where I was really struggling challenge-wise again. So to be able to come out at the end and get the immunity necklace, which is one for the bucket list, like that was a big thing in my mm-hmm. mind, was like, I really want to be able to have it. And especially be able to have that level of power at that point in the game, it's a really big deal. So I was really stoked at the time that I was able to do that, especially have my family watch. Like, that was such a special moment for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we've spoken a lot about, you know, in the exit and now how it was just definitely going to be Pia.
Oh, yeah. Again, I'd thought that since Final Six. You have to understand, the other thing is that obviously this challenge wraps up pretty late. Like, we sort of started just before sunset, so I want to say around, again, sunset at around 6, let's say 5, 5:30. The challenge goes for more than 6.5 hours, so we're sort of coming up to midnight when the challenge ends. And we're on a sleep schedule where we fall asleep when the sun goes down and get up when the sun rises. So, like, done a super long challenge, feet are killing me, tired, exhausted. I decided that I wasn't in the right mind space to make a decision that I might end up regretting, and I'd been determined that Pia was the person I was going to take, and whether that's her playing down her game successfully or not is probably a part of it. But I think I did have a moment during that tribal where I was like, oh, maybe this is the wrong decision, but I still felt that I had a better shot against Pia.
Do you look back at it now like it was the wrong decision? I don't know if we spoke about this in the exit, but strategically, do you feel like you would have beaten Harry?
No. Like, again, I at the time, and I still think now, I couldn't see a path to beat Harry. Like, I just felt that everyone would recognize his game as more superior to mine. Like, from my mind, what I was thinking at the time is like, okay, his pre-merge, he was sort of running the show for a little bit on the contender beach. He then finds and plays two idols perfectly to wriggle his way through to merge. So in my mind, his pre-merge is way better than my pre-merge. Whether that's true or not, it's hard to say, but I saw the idols as a huge plus. But then post-merge, we did pretty much the same thing. And he would say, and I would say, and he would agree, that we had a lot of conversations at night on the beach, just the two of us, and talking about what we were thinking, what we would do. And he would lead those conversations. And I would sort of let him lead it, but he would own the fact that he was bringing me along and he would be saying what to do and I would be following. And I literally can't beat that. So I just couldn't see a way to get votes against Harry's game. Whereas against Pia, I felt like her game was more subdued and harder to sell and see. I also felt that by reigniting that champion contender divide, I would have the contenders on side. And I felt like I had enough inroads, particularly with Luke and maybe also Dave, although it's hard to say, be able to swing them across and not make them just vote champion strong on the jury. So I felt like that gave me a better shot at getting votes.
Yeah. You talked in the exit about seeing the jury as like, Pia definitely had Janine, Abby, Simon. You thought you could maybe get like a Sean. Was it John and Davey? And then you felt and David were in the middle?
Yeah, that's how I saw it. And that, again, is probably not the best read of the jury, looking back and talking to them since we got back. But that's how I felt at the time. I felt like especially the three in the middle had said to me on multiple occasions they would vote for the best game, and I just knew that I felt like I could sell my game to them. But obviously Pia just knocked it out the park, particularly in that Q&A section.
Yeah, I mean, Pia did really well. I think that you did really well too. Were there parts of your speech that you look at like the best part and then the worst parts of what you said at that final tribal?
Oh, that final tribal. Well, the thing was, I think Pia in her deep dive mentioned something about a 4-minute limit for the opening statement, but I did not get that memo. So I just talked, and in retrospect, I actually thought it was quite rambling. Like, I looked back and I'm being like, oh, like I sort of talked in circles. I was stumbling across my words a bit.
Janine said you opened well.
Yeah, I think people did say that. I think maybe just because I talked for quite a bit longer, maybe. I'm not quite sure. I think I definitely sort of picked the best bits out of that for the edit of the show, though. I felt like I did get a few good lines in and they were all shown. I just felt like there was a lot more stumbling in the middle. But again, maybe the thing about when you speak publicly, you tend to be very self-aware and self-doubt. It's quite strong when you look back at it. So maybe it wasn't as bad as I remembered, but I remember not being excited to watch this part of the final episode. I was worried that I would look like an absolute fool. And obviously I knew I hadn't gotten any votes. And I was worried that I just looked like an absolute idiot the whole time. So I wasn't super excited to watch that part back, but I'm glad with how it turned out. It wasn't as bad as I thought it could have been.
It really wasn't bad at all. I mean, I thought it was good. And I liked your point about basically, like, you know, you talked a lot about being in the middle, but one thing that I would really appreciate as a juror is that you weren't blindsided in the way that Pia really was at the Simon vote. And that's meaningful to you. To me as a juror, as someone who cares about the strategy, that would be meaningful to me.
Yeah, like I definitely made the point that one, I played the middle from beginning to end, and two, I never got blindsided. Like, there was a couple of times where a vote or two went the way I didn't think it would, or I guess the one time I probably did get a little surprised was the John vote. But I knew the play, and that's the words I used. I knew what the play was. I didn't know exactly where the vote was going, but I knew the play, and I always knew what the plan was in every single vote.
Yeah. And that would be super meaningful to me. And, you know, we were a part of that final seven vote and everything like that. And your strategy to be the last contender, then make moves within that, like, you did achieve that.
And it's just, I think it's particularly in the Q&A section, I just didn't own those facts. I just sort of, I look back and I just felt like the jury really wanted big, bombastic, dynamic moves. And I didn't have them. I knew Pierre didn't either, but it felt like that's what they were looking for. And I just couldn't put the words together to make that happen.
Yeah. And I find that it's often like, you know, when you're voted out of the game, I feel like you give yourself more of an out than maybe you should. Like anyone can say, oh, well, if I just won that challenge or if something had gone my way, I could have won the game or whatever. But if you lose at the end, you don't get to give yourself that out. And no matter how wrong those other people are, at least they can cling to something, you know? Does that resonate?
I get that feeling. I look back, it's like, oh, I could have said this and I could have said that, but I realized that changing one sentence wasn't going to swing five votes. Like I could have said, what was an example? Again, I've run this over several times in my mind, but I think I could have made the point, for example, that I never voted with the same group of people in consecutive tribals. Mm-hmm. Like I was between every vote, I was either bringing people in I was voting with or blindsiding people or changing who I was working with, literally. So
I would have loved that as a jury debate, and I got to say, I would have been voting for that.
And that's like a one-liner that's concise and maybe has some punch. But again, I just sort of – I kept saying, oh, I had these good conversations and good relationships, but that wasn't what the jury were looking for.
Yeah, but I love what you're bringing to it, and I feel like we view the game in a similar way where you're like, I brought in these numbers and I was on these sides of the vote. And like, that's a really like hyper-strategic way of looking at it that, as I said, as a juror, I think I really would have responded to.
Yeah, and it's, again, like, it's tough to know. But, again, Pia did Pia did an amazing job, and she's talked about that in her deep dive as well. But from my perspective, yeah, just the questions, like, weren't suiting me. I think particularly I didn't really appreciate how much Janine would be championing Pia's cause. Like, I knew she would a bit, but I'd hope there'd be some form of impartiality, but I guess not.
No.
But that was a bit like, oh, Janine, of course.
Yeah.
What else is there to say? I think I remember there was a few questions that didn't make the edit, but I think the one from Daisy asked me what I thought my biggest move was. And for some reason, I said it was the Sammy vote. And I look back and I'm like, why did I say that? Of all the votes I could have picked, why would I say that's the one? I just felt like I think I was beginning to panic sort of, especially on the last day or so. I realized that all the moves I there was no move that I could individually say I'd made. Like there's moves that I'd been a part of, but I definitely... Yeah. I look back and I realized that I wasn't really driving those moves. I was a part of those moves, but I wasn't the leading force of them. And I felt like, well, I can't own that move and I can't own this move. And I saw the other thing was that Luke a bunch of times has said to me on the beach that he told me about obviously his other experience on the jury where Jericho beat Tara. And he's like, oh, you know, Jericho almost lost her because he ended up saying that he used the jury and we ended up hating him and I was almost going to not vote for him because I didn't like what he was saying about me. And I was like, okay, if you make it that far, how do you tell the jury you've beat them all without pissing them off? So I think I got caught somewhere in the middle. I was trying to be super nice to everyone and without really going, look, I beat you. So I think I got caught somewhere in the middle in that regard as well, which didn't help.
Yeah, well, Jericho said he rode Luke like a reindeer or something like that.
So I was probably overly conscious of trying not to belittle other people's games, because everyone did play an amazing game. Like, everyone who was present there did an amazing job to get as far as they did, and an amazing job. They probably all would have had a really good pitch at the final two as well. So it's tough to, yeah. I didn't want to piss anyone off, but at the same time, I probably should have, particularly given that I look at, like, for example, people like Janine, where if I'm getting Janine's vote, I've probably already done enough to have a majority. So I could probably afford to maybe go, Janine, I beat you good, or something like that. You know, like, I probably should have thought about it in that way, but I was trying, to not piss anyone off, which is not the best way to go about a final tribal.
You got to choose your people to make angry. Like, they used to do that in like the old final tribal format, where often people would ask questions of like, who doesn't deserve to be here? So like, you don't want to piss off too many people. So you'd have to like find your one person to like rail on them consistently and just choose them as all the negative answers.
Yeah, perhaps I should have gone down that path, but
Janine.
That wasn't the path I was thinking on. I was just trying to make a story out of the game that I played. And it didn't have like the big hunt, but I felt like Piers didn't either, so that's why I felt like I had a chance. But she owned the things that she did do better, like she owned the fact that about the Dave vote, and she owned the thing about having shields in front of her and stuff like that, and even back to the Nova vote, which a lot of the champs on the jury were there for. So I didn't have, and it was always going to be an uphill battle, like I said already. I knew that when we voted out Andy all the way back at the merge, that it was going to end up with a champion majority jury. So I knew that already that was going to happen, but I still figured that it was, maybe had a chance, but it is what it is. Like, obviously, Pierre did an amazing job, and I think it's definitely more that Pierre gained votes. It's not like I gave bad answers that lost me votes, I hope. But, perhaps a bit of both, but definitely more Pierre winning votes over.
Yeah. When you look back, or if you look back, at what you could have done differently to try and get a different result, like, do you look back at final tribal or who you sat next to, or maybe like a more broader perception in the game? Like, what is it that you kind of, like, this is like nightmare up at night territory, but like, what is it that you're looking back at?
I look back at the game as a whole, and I recognize that I wasn't going to play any differently. Like, I know who I am and how I approach these sort of things, and I don't look back and go, I could have done this, I could have done that. Like, they just weren't options for me in that moment. So I guess, again, if I was ever lucky enough to go again, I've watched the best play, and I would take so many lessons from them, and I realize how much you can get away with when you have a good social game. So if I were to go again, things would be very different. But for this time, like, I don't look back on anything I did and regret it. Like, there was a few little things I think I mentioned well, as particularly I think the John vote, where I could have done things differently to get a different result. But yeah, I think the game I played is just a hard game to sell, and I think I really needed a better response to the questions, and that's what could have done. I don't know what else I don't know what else I could have done that I actually would have done that would have changed the result for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really hard one. There are a lot of amazing losing finalists. Like, it's a good list to be in. A lot of zero vote finalists, even. Stephen Fishback, I spoke to the first week of the recap, and I compared, you know, your inspirational journey to how Stephen inspired me, and you both are now the zero vote finalists in a final two.
I forgot. Oh, man, the very first recap, you did it with him. Oh, man, I have to go watch his season, because everyone keeps talking about him, and I don't know his game at all.
Yeah, I feel like there are similarities, you know, there, and there's a lot of stuff where it's like, you know, some things can go differently to maybe get some votes, but it doesn't take away from your game. Pia's an amazing winner. Like, as you said, like, she gained a lot more than I think you lost.
Yeah, I feel like that was sort of the perception overall. And I guess the other thing was that sort of post-game, I didn't really have the chance to sort of get closure, I guess is the way to put it. Like, it turns out that pretty much everyone else on the jury and Pia had to fly out the next day. And I was like, you know what? I got my family here. I'm not in a huge rush. I'm going to hang out with my family for a bit in Fiji. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. But I guess I didn't get to see any of the jury again. So I never got the chance to ask them, like, hey, like, where did I lose it or anything like that. So it's sort of, especially getting back and not even having their phone numbers or anything, I didn't really get the chance to get that closure sort of at the time. So I've sort of pieced it together by now. But in the moment, I was just like, I just wanted to talk to them and ask them what they're actually thinking.
Yeah. Well, we've talked it out. Don't lose sleep over it anymore.
No, I've tried not to. I think around the premiere episode, I was a little bit tossing and turning, but now I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. What was the experience of finding out you're going to find out the result then and there and not a reunion and your family
again? That was a complete surprise because I was sort of like, oh boy, okay, the tribal's done. We got like 3 months to process this and then we find out who the winner is later on. And then I think Pia said the producer came out and said, yeah, we're doing this now. And I was a bit like, oh, like really shocked. I think Pia was just as shocked as I was. So that was really surprising for me at least because I'd sort of assumed it would be a televised reunion, but wasn't to be.
Would you rather wait for 3 months or are you happy to kind of get it over?
No. Especially given it was a 0-9. Like if it had been close, it might have been exciting. But yeah, like I'm actually in retrospect glad I knew at the time because I would have had hope. And to have that hope be mercilessly crushed on live television would not have been fun.
No. Unfortunate if that were to happen. But, you know, you handled it super well and you're obviously so gracious in, like, your typical Baden way of giving her that support and having your family there and stuff.
Think, you guys on the podcast were amused by my reactions. But honestly, again, like, it was just such a crazy experience. And I had an amazing time. I met these amazing people, did these amazing things. I got so much out of it. And I was just honest. I was so proud of Pierre in that moment. Like, it was done. There was no reason to be bitter about it. So I just congratulated her and said like, and I think even after, I think I've said online a few times, as she was giving her final sort of answers, I realized, oh God, I'm nodding along to what she's saying. She really is convincing, isn't she? So I think at that point I knew I was in quite a bit of trouble, but at that point there was no way I could have turned it around. Like it just wasn't going to happen. So I think sort of after everyone voted, and sort of before Jonathan came out, I just turned to say, oh, like, you did an amazing job, Pierre. Well done. And she's like, it was sort of, I don't want to say I knew it was coming. I would have liked to have had a couple of votes to my name, but yeah, it was pretty insane, honestly.
When you say you would have had hope, would you have had hope to get votes or had hope to actually win?
Oh, obviously had hope to win, but I think I had hope to get votes was more realistic in that moment. I looked at like the answer I gave. I was like, oh, I can't see my path to victory anymore. Where did it go?
Yeah,
I would have liked, especially some of the contenders. Like, it would have been really nice to get their vote. But at the same time, I completely respect them for voting for the best game. Like, I personally, if I'd been on the jury, I would have put all those tribal alliances aside and just purely voted on who had the best game.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's something a little entertaining from a narrative perspective of just like how many times the contenders cut each other in this game. And at the final hurdle, they did it again.
Champions, were we? And it all feeds back to that. Well, I want to say it all feedbacks, but the Sammy vote was sort of the start of that long process of contenders turning on each other.
Yeah. And, you know, so you come back, you know that you've lost. The result's been obviously put on TV already. I mean, not TV, but it's been filmed. So what's that experience of watching it back?
It's honestly, I really enjoyed watching it back to be able to not just share it with family and friends. Like I got to do a couple of watch things. Like I did a couple at uni, did a couple at home. So that was really cool and be able to react in real time to what they're showing of me. I think watching the premiere episode where I'm with the beans and I'm just laughing the whole time because it's just so ridiculous. But, it was actually really good to watch it back.
Yeah, I think the community really appreciated that you'd come on Reddit and like share your perspective as well. So that was really great because I know you're kind of new to the superfan community, but you know you fit right in and like gave that extra intel.
Well, I think I sort of started to follow it a bit the last Australian season, but getting into it a lot more now, I guess. I think that the show only can fit so much in, and there's just so much more that goes on. Like it is literally 24/7. All the conversations about pasta aside, there's a lot that goes on the beach. And I just feel like that provided that extra detail, it becomes a lot more immersive and just real for a viewer to be able to go online and find out this little extra information that the contenders themselves, the contestants themselves are posting in a very sort of unfiltered way. So I think that really is important for making the show as good as it is.
Yeah, I mean, you're someone who, you know, you watched it, you know, the show at its beginning, but you kind of found it again more recently, and now you've been on it. Where do you see your fandom going now? Are you going to keep watching?
I would definitely. Like, I've got a lot of catching up to do. Like, I haven't started watching Island of the Idols yet, but I think I'm going to have to give that a go over the next few weeks.
Awesome.
And I think like there's been a couple of people have compared me to I'm Stephen Fishfax.
Stephen wasn't a big fan before he went on, and now he's, you know, Stephen Fishfax. He's a podcaster about the show. So
yeah, so definitely, I definitely want to go back and watch his season to see how I feel about the comparisons mainly, and then also I think Christian Nubicki, I think, is another name that came up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more of a personality, a small superficial cat comparison, but it's still something I would like to be able to in the understand.
Those are good seasons. Those are all good seasons. You should definitely watch all those seasons.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a lot of good seasons, so I've got to sort of figure out. There's like, I know I made the joke with Andy on day one about who would be crazy enough to watch all the Survivor?
Who would do that?
Well, it was a part of a longer conversation where I was like, oh man, like. I sort of, obviously, between finding out I'm going to be on and going on, there's not time to watch 40 seasons of Survivor. And that was the point I was making. But I'm watching across, sort of in real time across a number of years, and it makes complete sense.
Well, it's not even 40, because once you do all the internationals, it's actually well over 40. So, Baden, I will give you my patented list of seasons to watch. List.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, boy. The thing is, everyone has a list. So
no, my list is definitive, I can assure you.
Okay.
I've converted a lot of people to super fandom.
No, fair enough. I imagine you have quite a lot of expertise in this area. So, yeah, definitely excited to go and watch back some American seasons and the current ones. So that will be – and definitely, yeah, just keep engaging with this community because it is really cool. Like, I didn't really appreciate – how extensive it is, I guess, and it's cool that people are discussing the episodes in such great detail and wanting to know more and more about the show. So I definitely want to continue to be a part of that.
Yeah, I love that, because I see it's like you're not a super fan coming in, but you're like the exact kind of person who should be a super fan. It's like you're like the same, the kind of person who's going to go on Reddit and give his thoughts after. It's like, okay, you should be a super fan. I see that. So that's why I want to give you the list.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's so crazy to be able to be a part of this experience and now go back and watch seasons and, yeah, just say how I feel about it. So I'm excited to do that and definitely excited to, yeah, especially with more Australian Survivor coming. I'm so excited for that. So, lots to look forward to, I guess.
Amazing. Well, we do have a couple of questions from the listeners. We did get to a lot of it in this deep dive, but
yeah, we sort of went through a lot of stuff, but yeah, please, questions.
Okay, we have a couple. Michael McDermott asked, did you consider hiding that you were a PhD student from the other players?
No, like, what do you get out of that? Like,
what do people get out of
anything?
The whole
thing about lying about your life, I just don't get it, because there's so much downtime where you have to talk about your life back home. And you have to be really committed to the lie to make it work. Like, for example, Harry didn't know how toddlers act, so and that ended up biting him very quickly. So you have to put in the research. Andy obviously did I don't know if he did a lot of research or just knows a lot about golf anyway,
mm-hmm.
but he had a long chats with me about golf and writing articles about the architecture of golf courses, not even just playing golf, like the actual, like the people who have designed golf courses and how their themes fold through courses across the world. I'm like, okay, yay. I had no idea he wasn't a golf journalist. Like, he just knew so much about golf.
All right. Well, Solomon Harvey asks, what happened with not being able to get free boost juice? He says that you said on Reddit you did get a free one in the end. This was when Janine made not free, but cheaper boost for everyone in Australia, except the four of you who voted her out.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a discounted boost for everyone who, except for me, the four of us. But it was part of be a part of the promotion, you had to use the app to order it. So I used the app to order it. I'd already paid. The juice had already been made, so I just rocked up and grabbed it. Like, I don't think the person behind the counter knew who I was, so
cover your face.
But I didn't get to keep the receipt, otherwise I would have had a picture with that. But I got my discounted boost, and it was delicious.
So only four of you didn't get the discount. A couple of you maybe weren't even, like, in the country at the time, and then it's like, you still got it cheap. So
yeah, exactly. Like, it didn't work. Clearly, the person who had been working the other day hadn't been paying attention to their social media, or maybe they didn't recognize me. I don't know.
You had one job. That person should be fired. Like,
yeah,
seriously.
It's a very important job to recognize Survivor contestants when you work at Boost Juice, clearly.
It's like it was such an important marketing campaign, and it only affected like a couple of people in the entire country, and one of those people got around it. Like, that's terribly done.
Yeah, it's not that hard, but I guess, no. I'm glad I got my discounted boost. That's the important thing. Well, I'm sure Janine can live without the $2 discount I got.
We don't know. That's the whole
I don't
point.
Know. That's fair.
She was meant to take that money. They meant to get that money out of you. Like, it's not fair. All right. Well, Baden, that is all that I have in this deep dive. I want to know, what is the hashtag? If people got to the end, I do have here hashtag box of crap. But
yes, that's a good one.
Hashtag night chatter, I quite liked in terms of like the way you describe Luke. Hashtag, is it Star Alliance or Stars Alliance?
Stars Alliance, I think is what we went for.
Which we're one both,
yeah, because he is a star and I study stars.
You're
it didn't
a star
make
too,
any
Ben.
Sense, but I didn't care at the time. But yeah, I think it's nice to make a good choice though. I think for my season as a whole, I think Night Chatter is probably most relevant. All the stars lights are definitely out there. Box of Crap is iconic though.
Box of Crap is iconic, but I feel like I don't want your debated deep dive to be defined under Box of Crap.
That's fair.
Maybe let's go with hashtag Stars Alliance because that might be a bit more unique than Night Chatter.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay, perfect.
And Baden, where can people find you on social media to keep up with you? You're going to go through all of the seasons and people want to know what you're thinking about it. You just got Twitter yesterday. Such a good
time
to do that,
by the
way.
Yes, I made a Twitter the other day because I heard that's a fun place to be to talk about Survivor. So
it's a place to be. It is a place to be for sure.
Absolutely. So I've got my Twitter, which is Baden_Gilbert. My Instagram, Baden.Gilbert. I've been posting on the Survivor Reddit, obviously during the show's run. I probably won't post as much now, but I'll definitely be lurking there. So feel free to, I'll probably see something if it's posted there at some point. And I think that's all the major ones. I think I missed anything. But yeah, this has been amazing. Thank you so much, Shanna, for having me.
Thank you for coming
it's
on.
Been great to, it's been great to listen along. I haven't done the whole listen to podcast of a show as it's being played out before. So that's been really cool to listen to you guys discuss everything. I'm so glad I picked up some cheesy points along the way.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously very important as I've become very aware now, but I'm glad I picked up. I think I only got 4 cheesy points before the final week, but they were across 3 different weeks. So I think there was recognition from your guests, but not you.
I gave you in the final week though. That did you? Because we never put up the final cheesy chats.
Yeah, there's not a lot. Yeah, there's no final chizzy chart.
Yeah, that's Randy Newpool. And for South Africa, that's my brother, Jason Gates. Like, guys,
I need those
chizzy charts. It's too late now, but you got points at the final week, so that's
I did, but there's like, three people get points. There's only 4 people to give them to. So I'm sort of like, I know they count, but do they really count?
No, they count. But so Australia's so hard. Like, when you do it for South Africa and New Zealand, it's one episode that you're giving points. Like, by Australia, across 3 episodes, like, I was just, completely spread thin.
Yeah, exactly right. No, the cheesy is tough when you're doing 3 episodes at once. But I think outside the final week, I think it was all your guests that gave me points. But I'll still take them. I was very, very pleased to pick up some points along the way.
Well, my guests know what's up more than me, so that's better, right?
And it's been honestly amazing to listen to all the just talk about the show, and I can't wait for future seasons to talk about the Survivor even more.
Yeah, definitely. Well, fittingly, sadly, I think this is going to be my last podcast of Australian Survivor 2019. As I mentioned at the top of the show, all the recaps are obviously done. The show is now 2 weeks over.
We had a lot of deep dives to get through, so that's fair, though.
Yeah, we've done Luke, Janine, Pia, and now you, Baden. And so that's kind of it for the coverage of the season.
It's been an amazing season. I'm so glad that everyone enjoyed it. I'm so thrilled that it's even being talked about in the same conversation as the 2017 Australian season, because that was a big season with a lot of big players. So I'm super stoked that it's come across so well. I would have liked to have made it a bit closer at the end, but it is what it is. I'm so glad that everyone's been listening along and discussing the show, because it's just such a good show.
Yeah, well, I did. I truly loved it. It was my absolute privilege to cover it. And I'm sad now that the kind of journey is ending for the season. We do have All Stars coming up next year, though, so there's still a lot to come. You guys should definitely subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed, because we have more coming. I don't want to tease too much, but maybe some other coverage before the end of the year with US Survivor. I won't tease too much, but there's some stuff coming. Follow me at Shannon Gates on Twitter and Instagram for all of that. And of course, Survivor South Africa continues. So if you guys got Australia out of your system, done with the coverage now, want to go back and watch some seasons, our coverage for that is still continuing. It has been 5 months since we started covering that season.
You're different in Australia, don't we?
Yeah, no, literally. I mean, Australia had, in 9 weeks, had done 24 episodes, and South Africa in 18 weeks did 18 episodes. So it was
The show played out across 55 days, and we were on the beach. I was on the beach for 50 days. So you're watching in near real time.
That was an insane ride. Genuinely looking back at it, I'm like, how and why? The main things, but All right, so you're still going to find some deep dives on your feed from South Africa. Nicole, Rob, Jacques, and Mike are out already. Sipe might be out by the time this comes out. I'm not quite sure. And Jeff is to come. Then Larue Botha, who is the series director. So that, even if you don't watch Survivor South Africa, that'll probably be awesome to listen to because he's a super fan creating Survivor. So that is just amazing content that everyone should check out. And we'll probably have an interview with Nico, who is the host of Survivor South Africa as well. And some really fun news for me, which I announced on the Janine podcast, is that I'm going on the US Survivor voicemails with Rob Cicinino this weekend for week 2 of Island of the Idols. So I'm super pumped about that.
So much going on. I can't wait.
I know. I can't even think about I can't even think of my life beyond what the podcast has been lately.
Life is a life. It's Survivor. It's got to keep you busy.
Yeah, yeah, I really need to start planning my wedding, like, at a point, because it's in 2 months, but
Okay, that's quite soon. Okay, maybe really put a bit more priority on that soon.
Soon, after the deep dives, I swear, and after the US stuff that I'm doing, but yeah. Baden, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad that you are my final piece of coverage for the season. I love chatting to you and getting more insight into your game, because there was so much there, and you should be really, really proud of how you played.
Oh, thanks so much, Shannon. It's honestly been an absolute privilege to talk to you. Can't wait to hear more from you.
Thanks so much, Baden. Well, thank you again for coming on. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thank you all for listening to this, to anything you listen to all season, for anything that I do. Hope you stay subscribed. Hope you check out what we do in the future. And I will see you next season. Bye.
Bye.